Shlomo.
Just leave that in. Fuck it.
If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
TheRightStuff.biz.
Yang, please automate my job.
Ha!
Automate my job. I mean, I like doing the talking part, but like all the posting,
yes.
All the uploading videos, all the making, you know, snappy little titles and things. Like, I just put up prep in the car after we were having a nice discussion about everything else. I forgot. But, oh, I have to make this post because this hasn't been automated yet.
Please automate my ironic memeing.
Yes, I want to automate that. You bet. In the beginning of this.
Well, hey, wait. Actually, Yang actually kind of has done that because the memes are on autopilot now.
That is true. It's an autopilot meme.
The Yang memes, Yang memes are like basically the automation of the meme of the memeing because they're literally on autopilot. There's one gag. There's one joke. It's $1,000.
$1,000.
And like literally the thing is like fuck you $1,000. Like that's it. There's no other argument. There are no other arguments.
Yeah, no arguments.
The only thing you can beat $1,000 is like $2,000.
Well, that's what you get if you're a family.
But then it's
so I get $2,000 a month.
Well, yeah, it was
I found
both
out that
you
Andrew
and
is
you should
not.
Demand the children get $1,000 a month too.
Well, they'll get it when they're 18, I assume.
They should just get it.
Do you think that so? We should just be getting $4,000. That's cool.
Yeah, I'm done with that.
What? What? Children don't need $1,000.
Edgar Yang
is Chinese.
Oh, they said Edgar Yang.
I mean, Taiwanese. I always thought he was Chinese. He's actually from Taiwan.
I mean, what's the fucking difference?
It's the same thing.
It like, doesn't basically, change my support, though.
Everybody over there,
that's
everybody,
carbon fiber
but,
bicycles.
Everybody over there that's not an Indian is
but you
fucking
realize,
Chinese.
No, wait. You realize Taiwan is like they're the same ethnic group.
So is Korea. So is Japan.
Like, there's no like Taiwan and China are like the same.
So
people.
Is the Philippines.
It's not the same economic block.
They're all the same. Oh, okay. I guess that's fair enough.
Okay, but so what? I mean, why does that matter?
But I think
in terms
they have some sort
him...
of connections, though, because I know that Specialized has bike factories that from Merida that are in Taiwan and China. So,
dude,
China's either way, I still support it.
I hate to tell everybody, but China's going to take Taiwan back at some point. Like, there's no avoiding it. Like, for a while, like Taiwan being free of China is like a Cold War relic that's not going to last.
Do we care?
I do not care.
Do we care? No? Okay. Yeah. I wasn't sure.
I don't care either. I just want to live.
Wait,
spoiler paradise.
So you're telling me that Taiwan isn't like the sole democratic foothold in the region that we should support spare no expense?
There's
unconditionally
be a few people that like, will say that.
Are you,
but like not enough to make it.
Is this like anti-Taiwanic?
Anti-Taiwanic.
Taiwanic.
Taiwanic.
Yeah, anti-Taiwanic.
Like anti-Panasonic.
Like if you start... yeah, like
that's
if,
where they made all that crap in the 80s.
Is it anti-Panasonic to start like criticizing like the quality of the bicycles that out? Like, this one doesn't... I think this one's defective. Well, you're being anti-Panasonic. I like that, anti-Panasonic. It's
right,
better than anti-Taiwanic.
Because that's the same thing. That's where they made all that crap. Like literally everything Panasonic was made in freaking Taiwan.
What about Zenith? Who made Zenith?
Taiwan.
Taiwan.
Maybe look that up.
Where? Yeah, who did make Zenith?
I don't know.
That was shit was made in Taiwan.
I don't know
what company.
Oh, you know what's going on? Like so you know that that meme guitar pedal that I have, the HM2. That's the sound I used on Rock and Roll Gamer. That's from like the Swedish death metal scene, like where they had no money, that was all they could afford to get a heavy sound. I have a real one that was made in Japan. Like they quickly moved manufacturing over to Taiwan eventually.
Yeah.
And that's like basically the meme is like if you get one of those, like that's...
Well, yeah, that was the thing. Is that,
they used different fucking capacitors and shit. It's like, oh, the Taiwanese. No,
well,
you
it is interesting
Japan, Japanese one.
To trace the history of what country was importing gadgets to the United States.
Yeah.
It started with Japan and then went to Taiwan and mm-hmm. Now it's China.
And Indonesia. With guitars, like Indonesia. Like I have, there's four of the same guitar hanging on the wall back there, the Jackson King V. The one all the way on the right is a Japanese one. And then the other two are like Malaysian or something. And that one's USA made. But the Malaysian ones are like a comparable price. Like they're nowhere near as good as that Japanese one. It's like 25 years old.
Oh, yeah?
So yeah, it's totally different.
About the USA made
one? Oh, the US one. The USA one's great.
That's the best one by far. Yeah.
I would say it's equal to the Japanese one. The Japanese one was cheaper, a lot cheaper. And it's, I'd say they're of equal build quality.
I remember when you were, like, I don't know much about guitars, but I haven't played really guitar since high school, and I went and bought a Strat, like, for,
it's
a Strat
there.
1 year. It's back there. I gave it
to you. I'm keeping it, bring it back to your house.
It's
with
a Mexican.
Amp.
I don't really know what I'll do. I'll have to get in, maybe I'll get, like a little PV or something.
I have a little
like
one. You just keep forgetting.
I wouldn't mind trying to play it again. I wouldn't mind trying to play
it again. To give you back your guitar.
I mean, but you don't ever think you'll use it? You don't need a Mexican Strat, I guess?
Well, I feel bad taking that from you.
Why?
Because a guitar is a beautiful thing to have. You learn how to do it. You noodle around, and before you know,
true.
You know,
you got to string it back up and tune it up for me. Though.
I already did that.
Okay, great.
It's all strung up and tuned and set up. It's beautiful. It plays a dream. It's a nice guitar.
All right. Yeah.
Have you ever had a guitar made in Moldova?
Well,
can't
see,
say that I have.
Let me finish
no.
a bit about
Fuck
Mexican. And,
that's not who. That's not who we are.
You're anti-Moldovic, and I'm not going to stand for this.
That's not who we are, Kate.
Okay. I'm not going to stand for this anti-Moldovic talk here. Okay, look, we're going to do a congressional resolution. This is not who we... Look, I don't care if our nation crumbles to the ground.
We're going to keep supporting Moldova.
Moldova. We will support Moldova till the end, till the bitter end. But in terms of
criticizing
Mexican,
Moldova does not make me an anti-Moldovanite.
You know what? I gotta get in.
It's just the government policies, right?
I gotta get in there with this. We talk about Moldova,
Africa, Mexico, and other places. I don't give a crap about.
Moldova's like the second, the latter half
Africa,
of that
statement. Africa, Mexico, and
like
other places,
I don't give a crap.
Stratocasters.
The thing is, like the American Stratocaster, it's like made in America by a Mexican.
Yeah, but it's only made in America with parts made in Mexico.
Yeah,
it's assembled in America.
But it's assembled by a Mexican.
Probably.
So it still is a Mexican Strat.
Let's talk about Moldova. It has the lowest human development index in the entire fucking continent. What a shithole.
What was the end of your bit, though? You were doing a bit there, and they got...
I was just going to talk about Mexican versus USA Strats.
Was there really
a difference? And like you kind of,
I kind of,
you kind of like,
I didn't know that's
you jumped
going.
Like right to the end.
I would have let you. I would have let you do that. I didn't
you were
know.
Just going there anyway. So yeah,
I didn't know you were doing that. That's like the absolute state. Like Gibson too. Gibson is like, here's a $4,000 guitar made in America by Mexicans with substandard materials because Obama banned all the materials you would normally use to build a Gibson.
Well,
guitar.
The thing is, like, I bought that guitar in 1994. Cool. So yeah, but it's still pretty.
You
good.
You go buy a fucking. They reintroduced this year. Gibson
I think
reintroduced
in
the custom.
'94, there was a difference between Mexican and American.
Yeah, I'm sure there was. That
was still a good guitar, though. Yeah. That was Mexican made.
The Mexican guitar.
$400
I had
a guitar in 1994.
That was my first guitar. Was one of those. Yeah.
That guitar cost $400 in 1994. Yeah. So I don't know what that would be in today's dollars.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Gibson brought back the custom Black Beauty.
I saved up all summer for that.
I bet you did. the Black Beauty Explorer, the Black Beauty Flying V, Black Beauty SG, and Les Paul. I think that's the black with the gold pickups and the gold. The shit's like $4,000, and
wow,
it's like I think the goddamn necks are rosewood because they can't import ebony anymore.
Oh,
it's fucking
shit.
Like you can't have a Black Beauty with a fucking reddish and the rosewood these days is not like it used to be. Like it's like pink. It used to be like a dark red, and so you can't even get ebony. You can't even get an ebony fretboard anymore. It's pathetic.
Everything's bullshit.
Everything's bullshit.
Like,
but it's still $4,000.
Like the Strasbourg is a maple neck.
It's a hard rock maple. It's bird's eye.
It's a hard
bird's eye.
It's a hard maple.
It's a flame top. You got a flamer top with a quilt top, and you're gonna. It's gonna look really good when you play in your house for nobody.
Yeah, it's gonna look really good when you're practicing in your bedroom. It's gonna look really good when your girlfriend's sitting on your bed bored because you're trying to show her you learned Stairway to Heaven.
When you go to some crappy bar and you play a little show, like it's gonna sound just the same as like a cheap guitar because you're gonna be in a bar that no one cares, no one's listening.
Yeah, and
everyone's gonna wish you were gonna. Everyone's gonna wish you were gonna be not playing so that they can talk to their friends at the bar.
You chase everybody out of the same bar. People are leaving the bar either way. When you start riffing. Either way, they're leaving. Doesn't matter.
Boy, this is one of the worst shit posts we've ever started up with. Literally, nobody gives a shit.
No, but
this is going to be like, there's going to be comments like, show starts 10 minutes in, everybody skip. I'm going to be like, fuck you. This is some of our best work when we don't do anything.
My best thing is like, look, I learned the progression. I learned the little arpeggio, whatever it is, the beginning of Stairway. My girlfriend's sitting on the bed, just like bored out of her mind.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, like, trust me, babe. Listen, this is good.
No, really.
I know what I'm doing here. This is not...
Trust me, you're wet right now. Believe me.
Yeah, believe me. Everybody tells me girls love it when guys play guitar. Yeah,
especially like Stairway.
Yeah. Ugh. I'm like, ding, 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 ding. Yeah, anyway, whatever.
Oh, God, wait till you hear what I have next week. Oh, the song I learned. Oh, I finished the instrumental yesterday. Oh, boy. My Facebook. No, I'm not doing Thunderstruck.
It's supposed to be the Moldovan national anthem.
letting this one go.
Wow, this is what Alex does. This is his particular
Alex,
autism.
Like, it's like the Lock Boys thing.
Yeah, it's like now he's not going to say Lock Boys anymore. He's just going to keep saying Moldova.
Yeah, it's like Moldova. Alex's Moldova joke like took off. So it's like, all right, well, this is the meme for the next
month. I think one of those weird obscure...
The reason is it resonates with me personally because I knew a Moldovan. Here's where it gets kind of funny. This Moldovan was a Jewish Moldovan because they have like an
actual... boy, now you better, boy. Wow, Jewish and Moldovan?
I don't have any drops.
This is why I'm
there's
so
like no that person is like the most protected person on earth.
That was my first experience. I didn't even know what Moldova was until I met this Jew.
I don't know where Moldova is. I don't know where Moldova is.
Is it like a city, a capital city of some country? I don't know. Is it like Estonia or something?
It's part of the former Soviet Union. It's the armpit of Europe. Like, it is literally the shittiest country on that continent. You don't need nothing.
I'm just like looking it up.
It's that place.
It's that one. Yeah.
Right next to Romania. There you go.
Yeah, that's the one.
That's too bad. That's a shame. It's a shame, really.
Wow, look at these cities. Oof.
I didn't even say that. Chișinău.
Yeah, but look at that. It's just like brick.
The capital of Eastern Europe's Republic of Moldova.
It's just like, I guess there's a few interesting things.
Yeah, it's
here,
a nice arc right there.
Yeah.
It's a poor, shitty country with a large Jewish population.
Oh, really?
They've got this like Jewish segment of their society, and
so this was actually a bad.
It's like it combines just shitty, crappy European post-Soviet country and Jews.
Oh, that's those Soviet filing cabinets for people.
Yeah, just,
God, those are the worst. Who thought that was like the future? It's like, we're all just going to pack in these efficiency units.
Well,
they're doing it here. Have you seen a modern apartment building?
Yes, but God damn it, the free market did that.
Oh, it looks like they've got a.
That's like how the AB giant
buck plug that, in it.
This is my Cold War is the AB test, the Jewish AB test for how do you create a docile and like humble and obedient, you know, peasantry or just whatever citizenry, and then create this like super super rich elite. Like how do you, and like with the Soviet Union kind of like they tried to force the issue. They tried to force everybody.
So like, this is the law.
Like, yeah, like that didn't really work out. But now it's like everybody like loses the shit over tiny houses. Like, oh, I'm gonna go build a fucking tool shed in the woods and I'm gonna live in it. It's gonna be like 20 square feet. No, this isn't prison because it's mine. Or I'm gonna move into this like studio apartment in fucking New York City and I'm gonna pay through the ass for it and I'm gonna share it with three people.
Or a shipping container.
I'm not shipping containers now. Yeah, you know. Oh yeah, people living in shipping containers. That's not. It's like yeah. See here, like in United States. With capitalism, we get to choose this fate rather than be forced into it. And it worked out much better. So now you just use all that capital, all that corporate power to, you know, enforce the humiliation of the goyim through transgenderism and gay stuff. And I mean, just ruin
neoliberalism them. Definitely beat communism. It beat communism. Because remember, there's the, as I was talking about, the twin peaks, if you will, the twin poles, Zionism and communism.
Diane, I can't tell if I'm a communist or a capitalist.
Well, is this a joke from Twin Peaks?
Yes.
That was wasn't that Northern Exposure?
He kept like an audio diary. He kept addressing Diane when he, wasn't it Diane, Alex? Right.
See, I never watched Twin Peaks.
Doesn't he keep saying Diane into his little tape recorder?
I did it at Twin Peaks.
I thought you were a fan.
I understand the appeal. It's just not my thing.
I'm not that into David Lynch. But remember that show Northern Exposure?
I understand why people would like it. That was so Jewish. Like, I get what he's trying to do. Like, I don't appreciate it.
But my point is that like the twin prongs, if you will, the point of it is that you destroy every other nation, you create one nation and destroy all others.
Yeah.
And so it's not like there's a contradiction, like, mm-hmm. like, because this is the plan. It's sort of like, open borders for America, but close borders for Israel. It's Jews like, are like, that's the plan.
Yeah.
What do you mean, hypocrites? Like, what are you talking about? This is the plan the whole time.
Slaughter already born American babies versus... Take dead people in Israel and impregnate living women with their seeds so that the family lines don't die out. And by the way, we have a demographic problem. And so we keep conquering people from different ethnic groups. Now we have to count them as among our population. What a problem this is.
I mean,
that sounds like a very old problem.
It is like a Roman Empire problem. You know, it's... But it is like, I'm like kind of...
Oh, sorry.
I don't want to ease off the hypocrite and the for thee and not for me memes because I think that's...
It's effective.
A powerful way to get through to people.
They have to see it because
but
it's
then
like,
people also have to understand, like, for them, it's not that they don't see it. It's that they're like, that's the idea.
You don't make any headway with Jews.
No, you're never going to. That's the point.
No, this is for the good. This is for us to wake up our people.
Yeah, you got
to
tell other people about this. Just like, look, you got to get it. Like, I mean, don't get to have, like, all you Zionists and conservatives, you don't get American patriotism and Zionism. They're letting you have it for now. Right? And
Guy,
you ever wonder why it is? Yeah, we're going to look at that in a second. You ever wonder why it is you've been supporting. I mean, the conservative movement totally subordinated itself to Israel about 50, 60 years ago. What has it gotten since then? It's gotten nothing.
Bunch of wars.
It's gotten nothing. And the thing that they get, they let you pretend to have is resurgence of patriotism during a war.
Well, yeah, your patriotism is cheering for the war machine. Yeah. That's what it is. Everything else you're supposed to be ashamed of. That's why they have two different kinds of Jew. They have the nationalist Jew, and then they have the other social engineering
dichotomy.
Yeah, that's what it is. The Chomsky tells you that you're a fucking disgrace and that you deserve to go silently into the night and hand the keys over to Paco and not so much Jamal. They don't like Jamal either. They'll work on that after we're
Chomsky
gone.
Chomsky likes Jamal.
Yeah, they got some problems with Jamal.
Well, I mean, once we're gone, you think they're going to put up with Jamal's shit? No. That's going to be it. No.
But is this Shapiro-Chomsky dichotomy? That'd be a good show.
Yeah.
Shapiro-Chomsky.
Yeah. So that's why there's the two sides. So,
it's just another way of describing the same phenomenon, the same kosher sandwich. Yeah.
And
we did a good bit on this on Mike and the Mad Wop last night for anybody that wants to listen. It was a paywall show, so I guess you can also listen to that.
I like Johnny.
We went into, well, it was me and Apache were talking, actually. Johnny was sitting there like,
oh, he's
right. Yeah, right. Yeah, you guys are totally right. You guys are right. Like, yeah, Apache
God, that
called
is
in.
Mean.
Apache called in. We had like a 20-minute conversation. It was really good. And
Apache? Johnny, my dog called it?
No, Apache.
Oh, Apache.
Yeah, the guy from Twitter.
I thought like my autistic
guy from Twitter who had a great 15,000 follower account.
Yeah, that's
gone. Like boom, gone like that. You know,
gone.
Like years of work.
What do you do here?
Yeah,
we got to make a parody of the meeting with the Bobs.
Meeting
scene
of the Bobs.
And just make like it's the meeting. It's the meeting with like Twitter execs. Like gone. He's out of here.
It's like Vajayjay and
Vijay.
No, her name is just Vajayjay.
Vajayjay. Yeah. Like gone. What do you do here? Well,
gone,
you don't tweet anymore.
Gone. Yeah.
I have people skills. I'm an anti-Semite.
Yeah.
But
Democrats are the racists. Yeah, not right. Me. Gone.
So here's one cool trick to prove to me that Jews don't completely run America and the world and everything. The fucking resolution condemning anti-Semitism and hateful anti-Semitism.
Oh God!
Basically, you've got a Muslim congresswoman who supports BDS. She's critical of Israeli policy. Critical of AIPAC. She calls out that
for those of you listening, 2 years. This is Ilhan Omar.
It's Ilhan Omar. Yeah. She tweets about AIPAC controls Congress with money and yada yada yada.
Can you send me that link?
Just so I can now she's the left version of Steve King.
I mean, yeah, basically. Well, sort of. It's a little more complicated.
Her,
than that.
Steve King, and David Duke, they just all hang out together.
Oh, well, this is.
Well, she's not going to be really condemned. Like, she's part of their, like, she's part of their emerging coalition of the disjointed or whatever, isn't she?
Coalition of the disjointed. So,
they have to put up with this. The late anti Semitism of the brown person, of the brown Democrat, you know?
I don't think they
is
have
it late?
To. I don't
starting
think they
to
have
look
to
a lot less latent these days.
All right,
I just mean in that population overall, like with AOC, it's latent because they've beat it.
Her.
They beat it out
predicted.
Of her.
Which like yeah, I hate to say,
right.
like
yeah.
everybody was like, oh, is AOC going to stay woke when she gets the Congress? So I was like,
so the,
stay woke on white people.
So the one cool trick, the punchline is, and, you know, to come out and condemn this and prove once and for all that Jews don't control everything. The House drafts a resolution condemning anti-Semitism. And it's voted through 400-23, is from what I saw.
Okay, 23, so,
but I know that the only reason 23 people voted against it is because they wanted a resolution that was just about anti-Semitism, but the Democrats shoehorned this other racist stuff in there, and the Republicans like, no, it's not that I like racism, but I want a resolution that's just about not hating Jews.
Right.
So I'm not going to vote for this.
There was a previous version of this. Previous version of this was voted for 424-0, and that was purely about anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
And then they decided to like do another go at it, or maybe this is just another one. I don't know if this is just another one, because there was one they voted on a couple weeks ago. It was also in response to
that was a
Omar's,
different one, yeah. But this was about like they wanted to make it more inclusive to the
Omar's
other
comments, and then they wanted to do it again. So it's like they went the whole song and dance. And she wasn't reformed yet. Like she hadn't been totally cowed yet. So she said then after her saying, first thing was her saying like AIPAC, like, oh, all these people are in the thrall of AIPAC because of money. Right. And then they're like, oh, you're saying the Jews are controlling government. Like, this is an age-old trope. The Jews are controlling governments with money. I mean, let's fucking be honest here.
But wow,
like,
what a trope. That's always true.
What a trope that's, like, literally empirically verifiable.
Yeah.
But then, like, okay, so then they, like, do this whole song and dance. 424 to nothing. But I don't think they actually sent that one further than the house. That, I think they brought it back after. She then does it again, where she instead says that, like, what's with, like, it seems like these people have
Do they know what trope means?
Yeah.
Just a little digression here, because they're not using that word correctly.
Yes.
Okay.
Trope means a metaphorical use of a word or expression. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's false.
True.
So it's not a trope for me to say that, well, Israeli control of the U.S. government via money.
It was a canard.
Well, the funny thing with the word trope is that, like, we usually think of it in terms of, like, TV tropes, right?
Yeah.
And it's like there's things you see over and over again in TV.
And we,
like,
definitely see this over and over again.
It doesn't mean that those things are, like, fake. It's just, like, these are recurring themes.
Well, with TV trope, like, the implication of a TV trope is that it's bad and it's boring and it's predictable and it's dumb.
It's just been done to death, right?
Yeah, it's
It's sort of like... Yes, anti-Semitism has been done to death.
Yeah,
but
that's why I'm saying, Mama.
We still have to
bring it back to life. We have to make anti-Semitism mainstream again.
But I'm just like, Mama Mia. Like, there's a reason that you ever realize. I mean, look, you could say something like, okay, with a TV trope, why is a TV trope a trope? Why does a TV trope keep recurring? Why do writers keep going back to these same basic formulae? Because there's something about them that continue to resonate with people that people still like. Like, these basic heroic archetypes and character arcs of a Luke Skywalker type figure, this basic hero arc, it's a trope. Why? Because it's got something eternal about it that speaks to people forever. People always like it. So, hey, sure, these are tropes. let's double down on that, right?
So, like, speaking of
the
tropes.
If you don't like the trope, quit buying off the U.S. government. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah, so, yes, it's true. It is a trope. Maybe you can end the trope, Jews.
So, speaking of tropes.
You Jews can end the tropes at any moment. But I wanted to go into the thing you were also saying, which is that, so now they have to do another one. And you see that this passage is like 403 to 23 or something like
that.
Yeah, something 404,
like that.
404, yeah. I think 404
to 23. Okay,
something like that, right? So then you're like, oh, wow, I can't believe 23 people got the balls to vote against this resolution.
No.
And then you're like, were these Democrats that were like...
They were Republicans.
But then you're like, no, then they're Republicans. You're like, why is it Republicans? And the reason is because it wasn't Jewish enough.
Yeah, it's like they're like all this other stuff was getting in the way.
Yeah,
right. Like they're being memed as being like these racist anti-Semites. It's like no. It's like
no.
This like anti-Semitism. Everybody fucking agrees on it up there. That's the fucking problem. That's what Omar's talking about.
But it's not even like it's like I could get it that like someone an elected official has to be like you can't be like openly anti-Semitic, but you could be like we got other problems, right?
Yeah.
And apparently, like there was some people, like there was actually some people. The reason they had to adjust it. And make it more inclusive. And apparently, like, after making it more inclusive, they still left, like, Latinos out.
Oh, did they?
And
I didn't notice that.
AOC herself, like, held it up. This is just what I'm reading. Yeah. AOC herself, like, held it up to get that in there. And they, of course, they put that in there. And then they pass it. And one of the things is these brown people in the Congress were all like, whoa. Because they were the ones that were like, hey, we got bigger problems than other problems than anti-Semitism. Like, all right, well, we'll just put those in here, too. And, of course, the thing ends up being anti-white, too. Like there's all
the
kinds
whole thrust,
of
the whole
anti-white.
This is anti-white
canards in there.
The entire thing is anti-white.
Yes,
they have taken the act of a brown woman who shouldn't be in Congress because she couldn't be in this country, criticizing AIPAC and Israel, and they've turned that into an opportunity to meme and then shit on white supremacy. Once again, this is a white supremacist country run by white supremacists, and this is why an anti-white supremacist
resolution passes with this much gusto. Yep. And the only people objecting to it are not objecting to it because it's anti-white.
Yeah,
I
wish I could say like these people are principled and they are just not. But no. Like, no, they don't care about the anti-whiteness. Nope. They're right there with it. They're like, but you know,
they're and even if the thing is, even if they're not, like they're willing to go.
They don't do anything about it.
They're not gonna. No one's gonna fight on the grounds. Like that's the thing. There's no one willing to stand up and fight on these grounds. And this is the problem. No one is willing to do that. There and everyone is willing to sacrifice. That whatever the long-term effects of this level of anti-whiteness are going to be, because it's not an immediate thing that you can see right now, everyone is willing to not look long-term and to just short-term get bought off.
Mm-hmm.
Get bought off, whether it be by just peace and stability in your life or whether it be by just actual bribes from AIPAC if you're in Congress, to not fight. And increasingly, though, I think that as we reach this inflection point in our culture and our civilization or whatever,
There's just going to be the bribe, the bought off isn't going to be good enough. It's going to be like, what? Like, it's not even a fucking $1,000. Like, you know, it's, you're not even giving me $1,000 to not be anti-Semitic. Come on. You know, so yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, ultimately, it's going to be like, well, you're going to lose your job and your livelihood if you don't, if you say bad things about these people. Ultimately, people are going to be like, wait, what are you talking about? What job? What livelihood?
Yeah, right.
What the fuck you mean? Yeah. What do you mean? Oh, you mean my life will be equally full of despair and hopelessness? Except in this case, I'll have something I can fight for. It's like the other end of the bargain is going to start looking mighty good. It already does. For some people, it already does. A lot of people think those people are weird or spurgy or strange, and they, in many cases they are, but that's going to increasingly be what the population is going to be like.
Mm.
Anyway. There we go.
So we have the resolution, speaking of tropes. Condemning anti-Semitism as hateful expressions of intolerance that are contradictory to the values and aspirations that define the people of the United States, and condemning anti-Muslim discrimination and bigotry.
Hey, you're not speaking for me, guys. Like,
but it's just interesting. Like, and condemning anti-Muslim. It's like, well, the woman who started this thing is a Muslim,
right?
So this is how they can try to blame it on the white Republicans. Is like, well, because they attacked her for being anti-Semitic too, and it's like, oh, you're just attacking the Muslim girl. It's like what does it say? Like, bigotry against minorities as hateful expressions of intolerance that are contrary to the values and aspirations of the United States. Whereas the First Amendment of the Constitution established the United States as a country committed the principles of tolerance, I almost said intolerance, and religious freedom, it didn't. The 14th Amendment to the Constitution established equal protections of the law as the heart of justice of the United States. So that applies to us, right?
No.
Like, I mean, the First Amendment says that I have every right to say what I say, and the 14th Amendment says that I get equal protection. But, like, just not...
No. The 14th Amendment says you go to jail for expressing that First Amendment.
I was going to say, because I thought with equal protection, that meant, like, I could have a Stripe or a PayPal account.
No, that's not how that works.
Nope.
No?
Nope. Oh, no, those are private. They don't have to uphold the Constitution, even though...
And also, it's basically, like, the 14th Amendment is just, like, this is the elevating brown people.
The 14th Amendment just means, like, you have to have black people everywhere now.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, literally, that's what it means.
So they say, what, vital to the progress, which it's not. Basically, it's actually... Whereas adherence to these principles is vital to the progress of the American people and the diverse communities, it's like it's not. It's
why,
the opposite of progress.
It's vital to the progress of
like,
capital.
The more you see it, when you read this document, like as you read it, it's just like if you would sign this, like fuck.
This is vital to the process of like white genocide in America, of making America not America anymore. Like the American people are. This is vital in there being like hollowed out and destroyed, or at the very least just becoming like people who have to pay for these other populations to exist.
Okay, like they literally.
Yeah, keep.
Okay.
Are you skipping ahead? Oh god.
I mean.
Oh, I like this. Whereas, this is where it is right here. That's really hilarious. It's like, okay, again, Ilhan Gonzalez Omar.
Oh yeah, we only have to get like four paragraphs deep.
Whereas white supremacists in the United States. Remember, this controversy started with a Muslim woman. Had nothing to do with us white supremacists, but whatever. Yeah. Here it is in paragraph 4. Whereas white supremacists in the United States have exploited and continue to exploit bigotry and weaponize hate for political gain. Again, show me where that. I guess. Oh, this is where like this is because President Trump is a white supremacist, right? That's right.
Yeah, that's the thing. President Trump is going to sign this, not realizing this is all directed at him.
Targeting
fucking moron.
Targeting traditionally persecuted peoples, including African Americans, Native Americans, and other people of color, Jews, Muslims, Hindus, Sikhs, immigrants, and others, with verbal attacks, incitement, and violence. I mean, this is supposed to be about AIPAC. Whereas the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. taught that persecution of any American is an assault on the rights and freedoms of all Americans, except for us.
Is this a church document?
Attack
just
white
like
people.
Reciting saints here?
Yeah, basically. This is basically like the attack of white people for the benefit of all kinds of other people act of 20... What year is this? 19? Martin Luther King Jr. Then they bring in some shit about...
Sinners in the hands of an angry Jew.
They throw in some lies about Charlottesville. They marched on a synagogue under a Nazi swastika. The only person with a Nazi swastika at Charlottesville is that guy that... whose picture is everywhere, yet he hasn't been doxxed because he's like some kind of FBI agent carrying
a brand new, fresh out of the package,
like totally creased up Nazi flag.
Now, this is something that is important, which is that like they are, when you see, even if like the thing is, whatever you think about Charlottesville, whatever you thought about it at the time, they're lying about it.
Yeah.
They're lying about it in a big way. And the James Fields thing was part of that. Mm-hmm. The deadly violence thing was part of that lie. the now this is an open lie that I saw this allegation in the documents for the civil suit, but it's so laughable, and there's no record of it. You know that this is now being written into the congressional record. So it's important to understand how Jews falsify history, mm-hmm. and this is what they do. And yeah. and so basically, if we don't correct the record and make sure that there's a correction of this record that's out there for the public, this is going to go down as part of history. So in 100 years, people will look back and they'll think that white supremacists under a swastika banner marched on a synagogue in Charlottesville. And they're actually going to downplay every other people, because ultimately, right now, they'll use like, oh, the oppression of blacks or Heather Heyer or whatever. But ultimately, in 100 years, if they're not stopped, like the meme won't even be Heather Heyer. It will be Nazis marched on a synagogue under a swastika mm-hmm. in Charlottesville in August 2017. That will be what they say. And when you see this and you see it happening live action in front of your face, you start to understand that you can't trust anything that these people have touched ever in history. There's a previous version of this that dealt with Leo Frank. And I wanted to talk about
that.
Did
they take that out? Because I didn't see that.
It's not in this version. It was in a previous version. It's in the one that passed 4 to 24.
Trying to meme Leo Frank is fucking innocent.
Well, first of all, it's important to understand how they did that, though, because there's a whole story of how they manufactured Leo Frank as innocent, and it's quite remarkable. We can do that later on. But, like, this is a major falsification of history. Mm-hmm, this mm-hmm. never happened.
No.
Never happened. And the thing with Heather Heyer and the so-called violence there was, we all know this was started by Antifa. We can't ever stop saying that, because there are already people out there that have come after me saying I am out here. And one of the reasons they want us to shut up is because we keep saying this. They're like, Mike is already out there promulgating a false theory about Charlotte. Bitch, I was there. I was in the town. Alex was there. We were in the town when it happened. This shit did not go down the way they are saying. We've seen the videos of the James Fields accident. He was attacked. Mm-hmm. This is bullshit. And they are right. And the thing is, they're writing it into an official record so that historians in the future, when they go back and they talk about these things, they're just going to see this. And it's like they do it with overwhelming amplification of it in the press. So you go back and you look, what is the press saying? Oh, the press is saying all of this. And then, oh, well, here we have a congressional resolution. Now, this march on a synagogue under a swastika, that's new. This is new. They've added this. Now, it was...
Yeah, I've never seen that before.
Again, I saw the...
I've never heard that, Clayton.
I saw
before.
The allegation in the civil suit, but they didn't name anybody specifically as doing that. They said it happened, and people in the synagogue were upset. Now, there's actually an investigation of this. If you look at the Heafy report, he investigated this. He found that, one, there was no swastika. There was no approach of a swastika at the synagogue. There was a point at which some people walked past the synagogue, and there are some claims that anti-Semitic words were yelled at the people in the synagogue. Now, I'm not here or there on that, right? But, like, I don't even know that people were in the synagogue unless they went there. The other thing is this. These people love to be fucking oppressed.
Yeah.
So they probably set something up so they could claim being oppressed. Like, for example, mm-hmm. One of the things was that they're saying the rabbi of this synagogue was so scared for the safety of his congregation and the property, the synagogue property, that they moved the Torah scrolls to, like, a safe location because they didn't want the white supremacists to break in and destroy the Torah.
God.
I was like, guy, this was never on the fucking menu. Like violating your property of your synagogue. I wouldn't even be surprised if there are some guys that trolled a little bit as they walked by. Like, hey, what's up, Shlomi? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Something like that. Nobody went in or disturbed your property or threatened your fucking people at all. And I want, that's why I want this recording to last as long as this bullshit lasts. Somebody out
well, those
there.
Future historians there, better get a paywall account then.
Yeah, somebody out there. Well, this recording will. It's never
kidding.
Going. Once it's out,
kidding.
It's out. Jesus. It's going to be out there forever. And historians, when you look at this is a lie. This never happened. And it's really important that people are out there saying this never happened. If I die and there's one thing I've accomplished, I want it to be known that this is fucking false. This shit is a lie. This never happened.
Yep. So,
and anybody that voted for this or would sign this document is a fucking disgrace. This is a filthy, disgusting document.
So then they go on to, they add Dylan Roof and what's his face, Bowers. And then they move on to...
What does this have to do with Ilhan Omar?
Nothing!
Well, they're just trying to establish, whereas anti-Semitism is the centuries-old bigotry and form of racism faced by Jewish people simply because they are Jews. It's, I mean, that's another thing that's not true. It's not just because they're Jews. No, it's because they are Jews who do things. Yeah. I mean, it's,
now, it's, how about it's, they, a resolution against anti-whiteness? Can we do that?
Now, Jews might intimately link their Jewish identity with these Jewish behaviors, in which case, yes, maybe it is just because they're Jews.
Well, yeah, because well,
but
basically,
that's like a double.
Well,
level
like the way the way I look at it with anti-Semitism is like, it's like, yeah, I understand that like every single like individual like normie Jew like around your neighborhood might not be part of this whole thing, but it's like it's not worth sifting. It's not worth like.
Yeah, but
it's also like
I
basically
like,
just don't trust any of you.
But the other thing is like, what does it mean to be a part of it or not be a part of it? It's like. It's like, I think there's definitely Jews that are out there that are like, what do you mean? I'm not
the guy that owns the deli is not really, but then again, well, I don't know how much money he's sending to like foundations and Jewish
see,
projects that
thing.
Are,
that's
so it's kind of like,
it's like,
I don't
like,
know. But in the end, like the point is it's not worth sorting
you could
out.
Say, yeah. Well, the thing is you could say it's, you could
like
say
Stephen Miller is like, okay,
well, but see, the thing is that it's, they act as a group.
Yeah.
And the group has different parts of it,
right,
and different people. So sure, like William Crystal is really bad, and like these, yeah, top level Zionists are really, really bad.
Yeah,
but they're in control of institutions.
Yeah.
These institutions then filter down through the general Jewish community. So there's not a Jewish household that's not receiving like a bunch of different newspapers and newsletters and calls to action on a constant basis of what you can do through your basic economic activities. Not to mention that you, as being a Jew, you will get automatically elevated in certain fields just by being a Jew. Like, it's the whole white privilege thing. They actually do it.
They do it, yeah.
And the white privilege narrative is, if you listen to it, it's just Jews describing what Jews do and pinning it on white people.
Mm-hmm.
That it's like, that's how this works.
Right.
So, yeah.
Then they cite statistics about, you know, anti-Semitic hate crimes, which basically we found were all basically fake.
They're totally fake.
They're fake.
Totally fake.
The urgent need to ensure the safety and security of Jewish communities, including synagogues, schools, cemeteries, and other institutions, whereas Jews are targets of anti-Semitic violence at even higher rates in many other countries. And that's entirely true, because it basically doesn't happen here. Whereas it is a foreign policy priority of the United States to monitor and combat anti-Semitism abroad. Like, why is that?
Why?
Why?
Why is that a fucking
problem? That shouldn't be a
why
foreign
is that?
That's a foreign policy priority because APAC controls
but
our foreign.
This is because
of the Jewish law. This is because Omar is right. This is like one of the. This is a big giant piece of evidence. You have 400 congressmen.
But you know what they did put in
here? 424 people agree with this. 424 congressmen voted yes on the previous version of this, that it is a foreign policy priority
that
of the United
in the
States
previous version
to monitor. I'm saying it's like this. People said yes. It is a foreign policy priority of the United States to monitor and combat anti-Semitism abroad. That is why is that? That is because what Omar said is true.
Where's Rand Paul on this?
I don't know, because the Senate is. I don't know where the Senate votes on this.
It's like
one cool trick to prove that this is totally not true.
Well, you know what they don't put in here, and this is on purpose. They don't put in here anything about commitment to the state of Israel.
No, that's true. There's nothing about that.
This is about diaspora.
Israel's fine, right?
Because the point is that this all arose out of her talking about Israel. So if you put language into this thing about a commitment to the state of Israel, it's kind of gonna. There's gonna be people that will seize on that and say like, "Oh, look, even in the thing where we condemn, we have to reaffirm." And like, look, they'll get the reaffirmation of commitment. That's strategic. They knew like to leave that out of this, because it's like putting that in this would be too obvious. So instead, we have this foreign policy commitment to monitor and fight anti-Semitism. It's like, that's what? Why? Like that? Why is that our problem? Like, that's not. I don't care. Like, I don't care about anti-Semitism at all anywhere. But like, why would I care about it? Like in Moldova, you know, like who gives a shit? And this should not be, like, what are we going to do? You going to start a war over it? I mean, don't answer that. Like, yeah, apparently we are.
Yeah.
But it's not anti-Semitism. They're starting a war. They're starting a war over, like, the Arabs that, like, the Jews are trying to displace, like, fighting back. Then,
yeah, like,
okay, well, look.
Does this mean, like, we're combating anti-Semitism in the West Bank, right? I assume that's all included in all this.
Yeah. I mean, you want to find places, people that aren't going to be shy about. Because for them, they don't have any. Now, there's some of these Palestinian activists that come to the U.S. and because they understand the political landscape, they have to kind of play like I don't know what to say, like do tequila, I suppose, on that. But if you're in the West Bank or the Gaza Strip, like, you get nothing out of pretending that you don't hate Jews. Like, you know, like, what do you, you know, like, right. there's nothing out of that bulldozed. For you. Like, your house is getting droned one way or the
your
other.
Children
like,
get, you know, your children yeah. get shot with machine yeah, guns right yeah. in front of you.
One way or the other, you're getting mowed down by these people. Yeah. So, like, you saying I'm not an anti-Semite is not getting
this is
you
interesting. Yeah.
So.
Saying you're an anti-Semite does not stop bullets or missiles.
So there's more canards here. Whereas anti-Semitism includes blaming Jews as Jews when things go wrong. Calling for, aiding, or justifying the killing or harming of Jews in the name of a radical ideology or extremist view of religion, or making mendacious, dehumanizing, demonizing, or stereotype allegations about Jews. I mean, that last one, I do that all the time. Dehumanizing, demonizing, and stereotype allegations about them. It's because it's like, I mean, those kind of allegations are usually true.
Well, I mean, I think that we have to... Help me out here? I don't really want to double down on any of this kind of language, because this language is prejudicial.
Of course it is.
On purpose, to make it seem like, look... We're telling you what Jews do.
Yeah.
Okay, we're telling you what, as a cohesive group, they do, what they plan to do, what their agenda is, how they act as a group to carry it out, and how, like, the different pieces of this puzzle work together to implement this plan. And you can say it's crazy or whatever, but every time you say it's crazy, I can show you the facts that it's true.
Mm-hmm.
And this resolution itself is evidence of it. And what they don't want to do, their greatest fear... is being called out on it, so they literally make it so. I mean, there's an Orwellian aspect to this that's insane. Like, this resolution is it's anti-truth. It's like, it's not just anti-white. It's anti-truth. It's like the opposite of the truth. Like, this mm-hmm. this is the
well, listen
is,
to the next
what is,
listen
what
to the next paragraph
described here is
the
is
next paragraph
another
is
fucking reality.
Whereas, listen to this. This is amazing. Whereas Jewish people are subject in the media and political campaigns to numerous other dangerous anti-Semitic myths
what?
As well. I know, including that Jews control the United States government or seek global political or financial domination and that Jews are obsessed with money. Like, that is not in any media. That's in, like, in our media.
That's not even internally consistent with that document.
So wait, the media they own, they say
the media,
about themselves.
Yes, the media,
where?
The media,
I've never
the
seen
media
it.
That they
show
own
me,
is
show
doing
me.
Is doing these stereotypes. I just like that. This is like so blatantly fucking false.
And in political campaigns, who does this?
I get it's that's where it goes back to like Donald
well,
Trump.
What
talking
this
about
goes,
it.
Wait a minute.
We have a document
is,
here that claims that there's that we need to have a global objective to protect Jews from anti-Semitism, and then it claims that it's a conspiracy theory to think this. In the same document.
Yeah, right?
This is nuts.
Right. Right. Like, think about it. Guys,
crazy.
We have to protect Jews at all costs. But it's conspiracy theory if you think Jews have inordinate power. I mean, it's like, dude, guy, what, like, come on, bro.
Well, it's also, this goes back to, like, when Trump made that great speech towards the end of the 2016 campaign with the financial mm-hmm, global elites mm-hmm, and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Like, they immediately associated that with Jews. Like, yes. I bet you all these normiecons didn't love Israel, like they didn't make that connection.
This is what people did. This is what's so funny. We actually had this. We talked about this last night. Like, this is exactly what we're talking about, which is that, like, they see themselves in these accusations.
Yes, they know
they, and so when they're probably talking about Soros and things like that too, because Soros has been a favorite target of conservatives for a while. Kevin McCarthy, the one guy that found his balls when it came to Ilhan Omar. Never speak up to another person of color or to a Jew ever. When it comes to Ilhan Omar, mm-hmm. boy, Kevin mm-hmm. McCarthy gets a sack. But but like he did that tweet where he talked about, and he said, like, don't let Bloomberg, Steyer, and Soros buy this election for the Democrats.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, oh, my God.
What is that supposed to mean?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Well, there was another guy that was accused.
Does it mean you can't have a lot of money unless
you're
Jewish? Dude,
they accused Jim Jordan because he was saying stuff about Tom Steyer. Mm. So they accused him being anti. Someone accused him being anti-Semitic. He's like, what are you talking about? This guy's an Episcopalian.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because that's what...
I too was to Fascination.
They were talking
yesterday.
About that on FDN. I thought that was so funny. I was like, yeah, that's actually really funny. Like, the guy claims he's an Episcopalian. So like, you actually have to be an anti-Semite to know he's really Jewish.
Yeah.
Right? But
so then they go on to talk about the dual loyalty, whereas accusing Jews of being more loyal to Israel, to the Jewish community than the United States constitutes anti-Semitism because it suggests that Jewish citizens
Jews that are more
cannot
loyal
be right, cannot be patriotic Americans and trusted neighbors. I mean, the dual
well,
loyalty thing.
I mean, I'm willing to run with that. Jews can't be patriotic Americans.
No, because
or trusted neighbors.
Dual loyalty is bad. And but
it's not dual.
Yeah.
I'll agree. Jews don't have dual loyalty.
Well, the Forward and Haaretz, like, they have tweets, like, condemning the dual loyalty, and then they have tweets celebrating their dual loyalty in articles. It's like, this is a real thing. And, so, and we saw this speech that Chuck gave, yeah. And we saw Nancy.
That's not the only speech of that nature that he's given. No. He's given that speech, like, every year for 20 years.
I'm sure there's speeches by all kinds of officials that are Jewish that have said the same thing.
I have an idea here. I have a prediction. I want to make a prediction, which is, I think, after this, if Omar keeps doing this, or if now that this this issue has been put on the table and people are talking about it again, they're not going to put videos from these conferences up there for the public to see anymore. Because people are going to start to.
I'm surprised they ever did. They're going to have to be leaked from now
on. I'm not totally surprised they did, because there was a time when they felt like they didn't think this would be used against them like this. Like, so.
Right.
Now, AIPAC, I think that the AIPAC conferences are going to be like no video from now on. Or if not, that eventually will start. That they're going to be like, no video of the AIPAC conference, and they're not going
to
put it out.
They don't have to hammer them. They're like, oh, where's the video? Like,
suddenly,
what happened,
AIPAC? The AIPAC YouTube channel. They're going to pretend like if you remember in the lobby in the documentary, they were already saying, the people that work for AIPAC, they're already like, well, AIPAC's brand is bad, so we can't identify ourselves as working for them.
Yeah, I saw that.
So we
yeah.
just say, like, I'm just a pro-Israel advocate, right?
Yeah.
So you're not supposed to ever say you're with AIPAC. Why? Because AIPAC already has a little bit of a bad name everybody knows. And it's AIPAC is and then they what they do. So Nancy Pelosi says that thing at the Israel, like something IAC, Israel America Committee or something like that, right? Who the fuck knows who started that, right? But that's just another AIPAC. But because AIPAC is the thing that people know, okay, well, now we're just going to rebrand. So AIPAC doesn't even exist. What are you talking about? And then, like, seriously, I could see them at some point, like, just disbanding AIPAC and just changing it to something else.
Just change your name, AIPAC.
And then they'll sit there, like, thinking you're dumb. And when they realize you're not, they'll pretend to be dumb.
What are you talking about?
AIPAC, what? What is that? That went out of business like 10 years ago. Why are you even talking about that? What's not even a thing? And they'll sit there and fucking pretend that with a straight face. That's how these people do this. And
So let me go on.
This is why this issue is the number one issue. And I will temporarily take the side of a black Muslim Somalian woman against this shit. Because without this shit, that woman wouldn't have any power. She wouldn't even be here.
Yeah, right. That's the ultimate fucking...
Yeah.
It's like, hey, conservatives, you know this lady you hate so much that she's...
Why is she even here?
How'd she get here? What'd you do? How come you didn't stop her?
How come we couldn't keep her out?
Yeah, how come we couldn't have a war in Somalia without letting this one get over here?
Why do we even have a war in Somalia?
What was that about? But just even so, like, how come we couldn't just have one? You know, if you're gonna go do that, but why do they have to be here now? Like, how did her parents get here? It's like, you're bombing Somalia. Why are you bringing Somalians over here? You're doing the Black Hawk Down stuff. Like, you have to bring this like black congresswoman down, like, back with everyone. Like, what's a
congresswoman?
You know what? What's the fucking point?
That's the name of the show.
I think it was a little clunky. I was just kind of like shooting.
It's pretty funny though.
But it's just
no, it is clunky, but it's good.
It's like, why? Like, they go down like a couple paragraphs
down. Black Democrat down.
They go through a few things, like they lament the internment of Japanese during World War II, which was totally fucking reasonable. You're having a war with Japan. Take these Japanese and fucking lock them up and make sure they're not fucking double agents. Like, fuck you. Yes, it's because they look different and you can tell that they're Japanese. It's like, get over yourselves. And then there's the Dreyfus Affair, and then Kennedy being Catholic. And then in the post 9/11 conditions faced by Muslim Americans in the United States, including Islamophobia and false and vicious attacks,
managed to more than double their population.
Yeah, it's like boo-hoo. Like, the general narrative is the country was attacked by Arabs and Muslims.
Yeah.
It's like, why shouldn't the country become a little more anti-Muslim after that? I mean, granted, we know the Jews did it.
It became significantly more.
But they're lamenting it. It's like, yes, yeah. It's because there was an actual thing that happened. It was like violent, and you told everybody as your cover story that Muslims did it, and you expect people not to be mad at Muslims? Like, shut the fuck up.
Well, that's the thing. Well, no, they wanted you to be mad at Muslims.
Yes,
they wanted you to be mad at Muslims for this brief window, and then they wanted to turn it off.
I remember immediately. There were forces that didn't want you to be mad at them. That's another part of the dialectic, right?
Yeah. Like, that's the sandwich. That's the sandwich at work. And yes, there were immediately people that were whipping it up, and there were immediately people that were that were attacking it, and ultimately both win because both get what they want. Out of that situation is they get the war that they want, and they get the immigration that they want, and they get the tearing down of white culture that they want. And also, the other thing that happens is the people that go anti-Muslim and pro-America become like
cannon fodder.
They become cannon fodder, but they also become a. It's so stupid that like the other half of America sees them and is like, look at these morons.
Yeah,
and it's like the Israel supporting part of maybe progressives should understand this. One of the reasons you find these conservatives so stupid and intolerable is because these people love Israel. Okay, like the Israel loving conservatives are dumb and intolerably retarded and stupid. They are, and your disgust with them is entirely understandable. But the reason they're so dumb is because they've been dumbed down by a media that teaches them to be fucking dumb on behalf of Israel. And all that dumb patriotardism and stuff, that is all cover for Israel. Mm-hmm. That is all there so people want to go to war for Israel. It's not a genuine kind of patriotism. It's not a true love of country or love of people. It's not a true patriotism. It's a fake, corporatized, bullshit patriotism that is meant to simply gin up fucking support for these foreign wars. And that's why liberals and people of that temperament find it so stupid and disgusting.
Let's talk about stupid and disgusting. Let me pop this on screen. Look at this.
Hey, he's using our meme.
Huh?
He's got the triple parentheses.
Oh, my God.
Oh, this guy.
I have a feeling that this guy's really pissed
hold on.
Me off.
They're not showing that yet. But this is the meme that was. This is a poster that was hung in the West Virginia. Virginia Capitol. Never forget, you said. And then it's a picture of Omar. And I guess the bottom text, which you can't see because this boomer like took a photo. Oh, there it is. I am proof that you have forgotten.
This guy has the parentheses.
Yes, this is actually a Jew who's a delegate in the fucking West Virginia House.
Yeah, what's
even in fucking West Virginia. But there, I'm ducking my head so you can see. I'm the proof that you have forgotten.
Wait. How did we end up with a Jew as a delegate from West Virginia?
That's what I was saying.
Well, these people
weird.
These people are everywhere. But yeah, this is the like. So this is what they're doing.
Well, the thing is,
this is what they're doing with the Omar anti-Semitism.
There's not that many Jews in West Virginia, and the Jew in West Virginia is gonna take on a certain affectation to blend in a little bit better with the people out there. But because he's a Jew, he's gonna get elected because he's gonna immediately be plugged into to the power structure out there, right? So it's like, yeah.
That'll get back to where I was. Oh, here it is. So
yeah.
You read this story is fucking disgusting. So yeah, he
love
has
all the little things red states thrown in your way to keep you from reading the article.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, I was like, when is this fucking model gonna die? We were talking.
Yeah,
about
we'll talk
before.
About that.
Yeah,
later.
We'll get on that on Friday. Oh, why is this still showing on the? It's not. Why does Alex's scream say one thing?
All right. Well,
what are the people actually seeing? There, I think I fixed it.
Yeah.
Studio mode. I had it in studio mode. Just, I can preview what goes out before
I
just switch it.
Hopefully they're not just seeing your desk. Well, this case doesn't matter.
No, now they're not seeing it.
Well, you don't want them to see, you don't want to see them. Those
according to
tabs,
according to NBC News, they can't see my hentai tabs I have open. According to NBC News, the state Republican Party allegedly set up the display, which quite frankly sounds like an odd thing for them to have done. They reported that the display was set up as part of the WVGOP day, in which the party advertised on Facebook as a day when Republicans take the rotunda. Reaction to the poster was exactly as one would expect. Tempers were running high. Local newspaper reported that one delegate kicked open the door, injuring the doorkeeper. And the House Sergeant-at-Arms resigned after another delegate accused her of saying all Muslims are terrorists. So this is what comes in the wake of this great anti-Semitic attack of Omar.
Why would you resign over that accusation? What is wrong with these fucking people?
Delegate Mike Pushkin, D, spoke to reporters in the House floor. He said, "It's ugly, it's hateful, and there's absolutely no place for it in American politics. Not in the country that I love. Not in the state that I love, which..."
Israel, right?
Hey, you know what? If you're back in Israel, this wouldn't even be a fucking thing.
We all give up.
You wouldn't have black Muslims in there, would you?
Yeah. It just goes on and on. "I'm proud to live in a country that someone would come into this country with absolutely nothing and wind up in the halls of Congress representing the state of Minnesota." You are, but you're not. But I don't get it. Oh, that's right. You like that she's there, that happened, but you don't like that she's anti-Semitic, though, right? Like, I don't know. Like, damn it. I hate her for being anti-Semitic. I don't hate her for being a Muslim. Like, and then like the Republicans are like, "I don't hate her for being a Muslim. I hate her for being anti-Semitic." It's like, what can happen here?
I don't hate her, period. I just recognize that she doesn't belong here. It's not the place for her, but that's like secondary. I'm now increasingly like, you know what? Like, let's put all these people in Congress.
Well,
fuck
yeah, I mean,
that's... what's the point of having... Why do I care at this point if white people are in Congress or not?
What does it matter? After this resolution, everyone in Congress might as well be a black fucking Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
Because what's the difference?
Well, listen to the speaker.
If every fucking listen to every the Republican in Congress is going to sign this shit, which is an attack on white people, why do I care
listen
if you're
to,
in Congress?
Listen to the
why shouldn't you all be fucking niggers?
Listen to the Republican Speaker of the House in West Virginia. As we began today's floor session, we had a series of incidents occur in and outside of our chamber that absolutely do not reflect the character and civility the people of this state demand in their
Jews
public
do?
Service.
See what Jews do to the fucking political discourse?
Yep.
This is what they do.
Leadership of the House of Delegates is currently working to investigate these incidents to learn firsthand the factual basis of what occurred and will respond with appropriate action. If the West Virginia House of Delegates, the West Virginia House of Delegates unequivocally rejects hate in all its forms.
See, I actually, like, on some level, I get, like, why people, like, the hate thing.
What a bunch of toothless old faggots.
Hate is an extremely bad brand. Like, say you hate, mm-hmm. It doesn't work. Most people don't feel like that. What it is that it's like, look, the hate comes with the unnecessary exposure of incompatible groups. Like, yeah. Muslims, like, they're not right for us.
Listen to this.
So,
I bluntly struggle with what even to say. We have allowed national-level politics to become a cancer on our state, to invade our chamber in a way that makes me ashamed. We can do better. I mean, that's just so gay. You sound like a fucking faggy liberal Democrat.
But, like, the thing is, this is, like, the third-worldization of everything that's happening here. Like, that poster...
And the upside is we get anti-Semitism.
That's the only upside is that in this brew of ethnic conflict that they're concocting,
yes.
You're going to get some people saying some things about Jews. That's like
the absolute state of the Overton window.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
Somebody in the New York Times. Are we done with the resolution? I mean, do we go any further? I mean, I feel like we've read enough of it.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot in there, but I want to move on to. We're going to do a long hour here because we're on this a lot.
So you want to go long this time? Okay, all right.
Well, I mean, unless we stop now and come back to this, but
how much time have we done?
We've done almost an hour, probably.
We can filibuster for another few minutes. We can come back and do that bit at the other hour.
Yeah,
we've
done 56 minutes.
I just want to double down on the point that it's like, look, this resolution is a disgrace.
Yeah, it's a disgrace.
And if people are like, and look, I just want to say, like, because I want to address the issue here. So the people that are like, well, Ilhan Omar is a black Muslim and siding with her, whatever. I know most people on our side of things are fine with siding with her in this thing. But for those that aren't, there's an even thing
gay.
Is that it's like, my thing is like, look.
Omar is my congressman.
Why? I have more in common with her than with the white people mm-hmm, that signed mm-hmm. this resolution.
Yeah.
Because at least we both recognize the nature of Israel and their influence over our country.
You know, she sees it as a threat to her, like, ability to multiculturally take over this country for her own group. But I see it as just, you know, I see it as, like, in the way of me, of my group taking this country back to what it should be.
Yeah.
It's just different, but we see the same thing. Like, Israel, we agree. Israel is a threat. Jews are the threat to all of that. Like, they're trying to have their, like, shopping mall property where we're all docile consumers.
I mean, she, on some level, I don't know if Ilhan Omar totally is as woke as we are, but on some level, she maybe gets her. Doesn't really matter, but the role that she's playing is she is here to weaken the native demographic. She's here to weaken the white backbone of America. She's here to break the white back of America,
exactly.
And that's what Jews want, because that's going to make them more powerful. And if you think that it's not, if people that think that there's some way that the Jews and whites have a co-interest with each other, and I know there's even some Jews that try to pitch this to us, like there's like these right-wing Jews that try to like reach the alt-right and be like, guys, like, you're right on the race stuff, but you're the Jewish stuff, you got to ease
Shut
back.
I'm the
like,
fuck
and
up.
I'm like, no, like, you, if you want to make that point, you need to spend all of your efforts to stop Jewish anti-whiteness. And you don't spend any of your efforts to stop Jewish anti-whiteness.
No.
You spend your efforts on stopping white anti-Semitism, which just shows you're part of the same fucking problem.
Yep.
So that's why I'm never going to trust any of you.
Mm.
And this is like, you think that this thing of like, as whites diminish in power, Jews aren't going to rise in power because they somehow need a white United States for Israel and their holding. Well, that's not true, obviously. Because look, whites have almost no power. They really have officially they have no power as whites, as white individuals, but they won't stand up for their group. The benefits of that won't accrue to the white population generally. But as this happens, Jews get ever more and more powerful year after year as whites diminish. So no, this is not a real thing. This idea that whites and Jews can be on the same page, it's not real. It's not true. They
It is in fact, it's not necessarily zero sum, but as they get more powerful, we get less powerful.
There's more of a chance that we could be on the same page with brown people against Jews than the other.
That's like a far there's more likely
of a chance.
Thing.
There's more of a chance of that working. Like, there's more of a chance of like having a fucking.
I mean, there's some people that are already there.
Yeah, I mean. Oh, well, like, oh, you're already there. Yeah, you already do
it. I wasn't always there, but Stryker dragged me, kicking
you,
and screaming.
You do it. You do a show, the brown person of you know, a fascist brown person every week.
Well, no. Well,
I'm just kidding.
She's not brown. She's like, she's all white. I mean, all of white.
No, I was talking about Stryker.
Right, yes, he's a Hispanic.
Yeah. He's a Hispanic Muslim.
Yes, the Hispanic Muslim.
Hispanic Shiite nationalist. Wait, is it Sunni or Shiite? Which is the good one? I forget.
Shiite.
Shiite, yeah. So
he's
I got it.
Hispanic Shiite, Enrique. Stryker.
Enrique.
Something like that. I don't know. But no, but like...
I don't know how to say Stryker in Spanish.
And I understand, like, when a lot of people become first race woke, they have this tendency to kind of look at things like... and I know there's some guys even, like, there's only so few of them left. Yeah. Some people that are, like, Israel sympathizers that are supposedly, like, white nationalists that are like, oh, it's a model we should emulate. And I'm like, well, I don't even really want to emulate their model because, like, we don't need to do like this kind of slow genocide that they're doing. Like, we just want to enforce the border we already have, and like Mexicans, I don't want to encroach, definitely don't want Canada. Yeah, yeah. I don't want to like encroach and build settlements and have little skirmishes, guerrilla wars again. Like, no, I just want them to stay on that side.
Just you go over there, that's easy. That's it.
That's it. It's done. But you've got this whole big peninsula. You got this whole Yucatan Peninsula. The whole thing where the Cabo is.
I'd like California back. I'd like that.
Yeah,
back.
California would be good.
That was really nice. We went out there and found that place and made it really cool. We put all these freeways.
California would be nice.
California, we want that back. That 23%.
But look, Mexicans. You can have all this West Coast coastline. It's just in Mexico.
Yeah, it's Mexico.
It's still there. You have Cabo. Look, you have that whole peninsula there. What's that peninsula called?
I don't know. Baja California.
You know, that peninsula Cabo's at the tip of. I forget what it's called. It's got a name.
I only know Yucatan. Yeah. Yucatan.
Well, it's on the other Yucatan. Side. That's on the other side.
I know.
But like,
I don't know what it's called.
You got a whole huge, beautiful country, Mexicans. Go there. Enjoy it. We want you to enjoy it.
I guess before we go, let's talk about this. So Clyburn.
Oh, God.
Defending Omar in the face of all this. Well, first of all, President Orange Man. Bad and Yellow Man bad now. It's shameful that House Democrats won't take a stronger stand against anti-Semitism in their... What the fuck is he talking about?
Dude.
This resolution they drafted... I mean, anti-Semitism...
I saw that tweet, and I retweeted it, and I just said, like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, no,
the only people upset about this Donald Trump and Jews.
I got, like, 500 likes on that tweet by now. But then I got, like, boomers jumping in.
Yeah,
of course you did. How dare you be so disrespectful? I'm like, shut up.
Because...
Shut up.
Because his Jew ball washing was the thing I was... Yeah, that's the thing I was going to overlook that while he built walls and removed Mexicans and
That deal is over.
Now you're just a Zionist shill, Donnie. Now you just went to Jared. Yeah. He went to Jared.
If you're talking about we're going to bring in foreigners because factory, you know, then like fuck you. Like the deal is over. I'm not overlooking your Zionist.
This is over.
And
we're going to continue to nip at the edges of your like normie support because our arguments make sense and your positions don't.
Yeah. Well, the marginally speaking, like he's already lost enough. He's lost the 2020 election at this point.
Pretty much.
He's lost.
And I'm not falling for like when he swings back around and tries to save
him. No, because what's going to happen is coming up, like seriously.
Like I'm not going to be mollified by the fence.
In the lead
by
up.
By the slats.
In the lead up to the 2020 election, he's going to pivot back to racism.
Look what they did in 2018.
Yeah.
The lead up to the lead up to the fucking midterm. I fell for it. I thought we were
I thought we were like, the old Trump is back. But now it's like
things were looking really great.
Only took him a few months to break him again, and I'm not going to fall for it again.
No. Nope.
I'm not going to fall for him in his rhetoric that he is going to, in 2020, he is going to pivot hard back to nationalism. He's going to pivot hard back to America first. He's going to pivot hard back to dog whistles, racist dog whistles.
I will never go back to him unless Jared and Ivanka are out of the White House
They've got to be gone. That's step one.
That's it.
That's step one. They got to be gone. Christian Nielsen has to be gone.
Yep.
And the fucking birthright citizenship executive order has to be signed. Mm-hmm. That's what it's going to take.
Yep. So what else do we got here? So Clyburn came to Omar's defense Wednesday, lamenting that many of the media reports surrounding the recent controversy have omitted mentioning that Omar, who was born in Somalia, had to flee the country to escape violence and spent 4 years in a Kenyan refugee camp before coming to the United States. How do you get from a Kenyan refugee camp to the United States? Anyway.
Social promotion.
Yeah. Her experience, Clyburn argued, is much more empirical and powerful than that of people who are generations removed from the Holocaust. Oh, God.
And are also the richest and most successful ethnic group in the fucking
exactly.
world.
Exactly. So he says, the Holocaust, Japanese internment camps, and other violent episodes that have marked history. I'm serious about that. There are people who tell me, well, my parents are Holocaust survivors. And there are people who tell me that this tab just reloaded and I don't know where I went.
The people that tell you that?
Okay, my yeah, parents.
He talks
who,
about this.
Hold
this
on, I got it. I got the
personal
rest.
Experience.
Yes,
for her.
He says people who tell me my parents are Holocaust survivors. My parents did this. It's more personal with her. He says I've talked to her and I can tell you that she's living through a lot of pain. It's more personal for that than the Holocaust. It's like that is wow. I mean, now talk about the absolute state of your Overton windows. Somebody was actually that's an elected official. Minimizing like the learned the generational experience of the Holocaust,
yeah. Dude, yeah,
because you have a black Muslim that like wow. was like more recently in an internment camp.
Yes, he refused to back down, and the reason was because he that gorilla had a sense of itself.
Yeah,
like where's the lie? He's
I know,
right.
Like
she was in an internment camp. Yeah. None of these modern Jews are in internment camps.
But the reason I'm saying Clyburn's not going to back down because he's black, because he's got a sense of himself, because he's like. Look,
he's got a K-word.
He's
pass.
Like, look, at some point, like, he's like, and these, forget, these blacks are like, we'll play ball with this Holocaust.
Forget the
shit.
N-word pass. Like, what do these niggers have? They have this Jew pass. That is anti-Semitism pass.
They actually don't have the pass, but it's like they, because.
They get away with it, though. The stack is kind of like shuffled.
Restuffle
the shack. That's what I just said. Restuffle the shack.
Okay, fine.
Wow.
But what it shows is that these people. It shows that many teeth can bite. Like, if you have enough people...
Is this like a Chinese proverb or something?
Yeah, something like that. Something like that, right? But blacks
came
will
out of
back...
Fortune
blacks,
cookie.
Blacks will
Mike's
back,
just reading fortune cookies to you now.
Blacks will back blacks, okay?
Yeah,
gotcha. A white person goes off the reservation, white people turn on them.
Yeah.
And that's because... Now, they see that as, like, supporting something... It's because of how white people have been brain damaged by propaganda and media.
Well,
because
we have standards for
social
like, you
status
know,
and things
like
that.
We don't
like
when people, you know...
Essentially, like, white people have an idea of social status, standing, and things like that in the community. And being white alone is not... Like, people... When even, like, white nationalists are, like, say this, like, it's just being white alone. No, we need something else. We need other things. And that's how we've always thought. And it's just that, like... It's gone to the point where being white is not. It's like that. Even talking about that is déclassé. So, with the standards, though, all Jews have to do is to inject into that kind of like self policing of standards that white people do. Just inject into it anti-Semitism is the worst thing, and boom, watch what happens. All right, and you do that by you bribe a few people at the top. You bribe some ministers. You buy a jet for Jerry Falwell. You pay off every congressman. You know, like these types of things. And
by all of them,
and
not just one party.
You get people in the academic. I mean, look, dude, it's quite amazing how this works. But you know, Jews have run.
It's not amazing how it works. It makes perfect sense when you look.
Quite
at
amazing
it.
How deep it is.
It's
sometimes.
Amazing, but it's amazing how resistant people are to recognizing it when it's pointed out to them.
Yeah.
It's amazing how people resist being shown evidence of it.
Well, the best is like
clear as day. They
the best is people that already believe in a ton of conspiracy theories,
but they don't believe this.
And you're like, guy, no. Like, let me tell you how you're right.
Yeah,
but let's like just yeah. let's just.
But
shift
it really
a
is
bit.
The conditioning, the yeah. conditioning that anti-Semitism bad, and that they lay out in that dude, resolution. They lay out things that it's like this didn't just happen. Like these stereotypes don't just exist because people are mean. They exist because they did shit. You know.
Yeah, but also like this, just the utter falsity of that whole thing. But I mean, look, the conditioning is, I really think it's exposure to trauma in early childhood with Holocaust propaganda. I think that they break people's brains at a young age.
Lead paint. And, oh, that's just the boomers.
That's partly. The boomers are more receptive to it because
of
the lead
paint.
Oh, it's
our generation, it's fluoride, right?
Well, I don't know.
Fluoride in the water.
Our generation is nihilism. Like Generation X, it's the nihilism. They got because
I don't believe that.
Okay. What do you believe?
Nothing.
Yeah, but that nihilism cuts both ways.
Come on! I got you.
That was good. That was good. Oh, yeah?
We believe in nothing, Lebowski.
I don't believe
nothing.
Generation X is
it cuts off your Johnson.
Because I don't believe in anything.
That's right.
That's a good one. I like that.
I'm a non-believer.
I'm going to tweet that out.
I don't believe in caring about the Holocaust. How about that?
Yeah.
Well, that's the one thing you could possibly...
Oh, isn't anti-Semitic to be indifferent to Jews?
Yeah, but you want
to
see...
Am I allowed
you
to
wanna
not
see,
care?
You want to see Gen Xers all of a sudden cease the nihilism, say that to them.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, I am nihilistic about the Holocaust.
What? How do you... You don't believe in...
Oh, the other thing God. Is, like, everybody wants
it's
to be...
Not, I don't believe, I just don't care.
Everybody wants to be care. Against the system, man.
Man.
So all the Jews do is they convince you, like, dude, loving Jews...
Against
it's like anti-system.
You're taking a stand for...
it's like, whoa, dude, yeah. Like, I fucking love
this
Jews
white supremacist
so much.
Country that
fuck
just hates
evil
Jews.
Evil country, man. Yeah.
Oh, man. They handed over, like, all fucking political
Imagine
power.
Imagine thinking that loving media Jews power. Is anti-system. Imagine thinking that. Imagine thinking that shit, that...
This is why they expose you to propaganda
from anti-Semitic canards by Jewish power.
It's just psycho. It's, like, you know the thing about Jews is like there isn't a Jew you can even point to say this one's being oppressed and I feel bad. Like you have
not
like
a single one.
You have like the super rich, powerful Jews that own media or own congresspeople. Like they're not oppressed and downtrodden that you need to support. You go to like Curious Joel and look at these fucking super orth that are like taking it. Like there's nothing about them that's to be sympathetic for. Like they're just a nuisance.
They're fundamentally unsympathetic, but they're not oppressed either.
Yeah.
Like they might not, they live in conditions I wouldn't want to live in,
but they get their way on everything.
That's their condition. That's, they like created that for themselves. They're literally creating their own world. Like
they get to run the show wherever they congregate. They run the show.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
There's no oppression there.
I mean, it's very difficult to point to any one Jew and say like this guy is suffering. Like, yeah. Find me one.
Yeah, and then like the people that
maybe somebody's got like cancer or something.
The equally insufferable ones are like the Jews in the middle, like the regular like reformed like Orthodox like just normal like shitlib Jews who will prattle on about
these middle class they will prattle on about
the. The multiculturalism, the diversity, and the equality of people that we're supposed to embody in this country, while they totally ignore that other little group of Jews over there that fucking totally does not believe in any of that shit. They believe in like their little town, their little enclaves just for themselves, and don't you dare come in here. You like coming around and asking about it is anti-Semitism, and you better fucking leave. And these people run cover and defend them just as much as they defend the giant billionaire media mogul Jews who are running everything. And it's just like none of them are a sympathetic character to anyone. So the question is like, why haven't we made anti-Semitism mainstream again? Why hasn't it happened yet?
I don't know.
There is nothing sympathetic about these people. Nothing. Anybody that looks into like the Holocaust will probably start getting the idea like, "Oof, God, maybe that didn't just come out of nowhere, huh?"
Yeah.
Oof.
Well, I mean,
what was Hitler on about? Oh wow, Weimar. What happened? Families, mothers and daughters prostituting themselves in groups. How did that come about? What happened to their currency? Who was giving them the ideas to do these things? Who was running their media and entertainment? Oh my God, and their finances. Oh my God. These canards. Why can't I hold all these canards?
Let's see if I can find a quote.
Oh, he's pulling up Reed. We're reading Reed. You thought I was going to monologue for much longer than that. I'm basically out of gas.
So let me read this. let me read a quote from Reed here, if I can.
Please, this is from far and wide.
It's from far and wide.
Far and wide.
He said, the Zionist newspapers reminded me of a Jewish village in Ruthenia in 1938, where a man said to me, these Jews are the most disputatious people in the world among themselves, but at the approach of a stranger, they close together like a sea urchin at the touch of a human finger.
Mm.
In these publications, I found the Jew who felt guilt because of the treatment of the Arabs, to whom the ruination of these poor people's homes and homeland by those who complained of homelessness was an awful thing. Next to him was a Jew who was tormented by the revived curse of dual loyalties. He did not want to become Israeli or a Zionist in exile, but to remain a good American, British or Frenchman or German.
Uh-huh.
Next came the Jew who wanted it both ways, to remain in the dispersal and good, be a good Israeli. The Jew who said, I supported Zionism as a Jewish nationalist, but now the Zionist state is here. For any who want to go to it, I am done with it. I propose to live as a Frenchman. There was the Jew who wanted the new state to be one of a tribal religion more exclusive than Hitler's. The Jew who wanted intermarriage of Gentiles. And the Jew who wanted to be an atheist and communist. There was a Berlin Jew who said 5,000 of his fellow Jews there were saved by Germans and he would live nowhere else. Jews who longed to return to Europe and could not. Jews who hated Europe and adored the communist destroyers of it. There were replies to all these opinions. The debate was open and endless. I find in the Zionist newspapers the open truth about the cry of anti-Semitism. I knew it was a transferable label moved about by the political Zionists from one country to another in order to keep the Jewish masses on the rack. No Gentile newspaper would print that. But here it was, candidly avowed. A leading Yiddish writer said the political Zionists were keeping up their clamor of anti-Semitism in order to undermine the morale, faith, and hope of Jews in their American home. See, this is a little bit, I'm not totally on board, but I can kind of see this. He said the Zionist intention was to keep Jews constantly on edge with the scare of anti-Semitism, not to let them forget the Hitler horrors and to spread doubts, fears, and despair about the future of Jews in America. Anyway, so the main point of this, though, is, see, Reed is a little bit going on the side of, like, oh, Jews themselves. But see, that's also, that was also
the main,
kind of a,
the main thrust of this is
kind of a ploy. Cremation.
But the main thrust of this is Jews among themselves have this debate, and it's allowed.
Sure.
It's not allowed for us to debate.
We're not allowed to have an opinion.
We can't have an opinion on any of this. Our only the only opinion that we are allowed is, in fact, they would probably rather
emphatic, bubbly support.
They would probably rather that we don't, that Gentiles really didn't even talk about Israel. I remember when I was a kid in high school, the Jewish kids, if knew that you knew about Israel, they got like kind of nervous and pissed off. Like, what do you care? Like, I would talk about it sometimes in like the lunchroom and shit. And
it's like, well, we got together with the UN and created it. We created it for you.
Yeah, I remember one kid was like, oh, like, I didn't even really know what Israel was. There's one kid who was kept going there with his family. And I was asking, and he's like, oh, we were going to Israel every year, and we kind of stopped going. This is like mid-80s. I was in elementary school. And he's like, I was like, well, why did you stop going? He's like, there was problems. Like, well, what do you mean problems? I don't understand. What do you mean problems? He's like, just problems. There's problems. And what he's talking about was the first Intifada.
He's
talking about the first Palestinian uprising. So they stopped going to Israel for vacation. So, like, and I didn't know. So I asked my dad, and my dad tries to explain it. It's like, whatever. But then later in high school, I learned about it more, and I would talk about it, and people would, these Jewish kids would be like, "Just, it's not your, what do you care? It's not your problem.
Yeah, it's not my problem.
They don't even want you to know about it. Like, that's what's so funny. Like, you're only,
I mean, Kuwait, not my problem. Wait, that was my problem.
In some way, they were like,
how did Kuwait become my problem?
Fuck if I remember. Saddam throwing babies in incubators.
But I mean,
or something.
Who made Kuwait my problem?
But dude, the thing is, like, in a rational world, Iraq had every right to fucking take over Kuwait.
Sure they did, but
because Kuwait,
in a rational world, that actually is not my problem. Just keep selling me oil.
No, I know. But the whole reason Kuwait exists as a country is to cut Iraq off from the Gulf.
The sea, yeah.
It's like that's why they carved it out, so this nation couldn't become too powerful. Anyway.
But yeah. How did that become my problem?
Not
my problem. Not my problem. Some of this feels like my problem.
But it's like, you make it my problem, and you don't want me to talk about it. If you want me to not be worried about it, don't make it my fucking problem.
I feel like this is my problem.
It's like somehow Israel is my problem.
I feel like it's my problem.
It's like a huge problem for me.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Every white Gentile has a right to comment on this because it's their fucking problem.
Did you see that Thanos meme?
Did you defeat
the Nazis, Thanos? Yes. What did it cost? Everything. And then a little white child is like...
Did you see that Jews are now sucking Meghan McCain's clit over her support for Israel and her condemnation of Omar?
Is that anything that I should be surprised about? I mean, Jews, like, McCain family is like the ultimate butt goy family. Like,
oh, it's so awful. Anyway,
this goes back to fucking John McCain's father. He got fucking covered up the USS Liberty.
Oh, God.
Like, that guy was instrumental in covering up the Liberty incident. Fucking was
rotten
John
hell.
McCain Sr.
And Jr. Yeah. Rotten hell together. John McCain Sr. is the demon torturing John McCain Jr. in hell.
I got
to
issue a correction real quick.
Oh, okay.
We talked about the Liberty a couple weeks ago. I made a grave error, and I said that the Liberty 110 died, 35 were wounded. It's the opposite. 35 dead, 110 wounded. So I'm sorry. I know people are spurging, and I just got the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Did you just issue a correction?
I did.
We don't do that shit.
I do. I've gotten things wrong. I try to correct it. When I get things wrong.
It's not how the Ministry of Truth operates.
Well, look, I'm a Gentile.
We got to
change
historical records.
I am a goy, so I have to correct the record.
We have to operate on
truth.
That's what it's all about.
Get those records updated.
We cannot operate on untruth.
Yeah, I don't want to operate. It was just, I made a mistake. Sorry, guys.
It happens. All right, so we'll be back in a few. We're going to do, what do we got? Suicidal, solidarity, and we'll be right back.
Alive, Bob! Alive, Bob! Oh, my
The world is watching the Asian continent in horror as potential nuclear war approaches closer and closer. Not talking about India versus Pakistan. China has declared war on gamers worldwide after banning a Taiwanese video game which made a joke comparing Chinese Prime Minister Xi Jinping with Winnie the Pooh, referencing a meme from the good old Obama days. In that meme, Obama was represented by Tigger, so... phew, I guess we get the joke. In cooperation with Graf Rudolph, this is Trent Holmgren with the 88th episode of Suicidal Solidarity. Picking up on our intro theme of censorship, we're still in Red China, where one of the state-approved media providers altered the Oscars acceptance speech by Rami Malek, who played Freddie Mercury in that Queen movie. Mango TV, one of China's most popular channels, avoided using the words gay man, instead translating them as special group. We kind of like that, actually. In this world of increasing persecution against normal people, we've got to keep coming up with new terms for the officially protected classes. In the spirit of that challenge, this episode of Suicidal Solidarity will contain precisely zero non-kosher terms for non-normal individuals. This means you can play it loudly at work, at church, at the synagogue, in school, or at the White House, wherever you may be listening to this. Why go through all that trouble? Because tyrants like French Prime Minister Emmanuel Macron wants to ban us from the internet for life. Macron has recently floated the idea that those convicted for crimes of hate speech could be banned from social media networks permanently. But seriously, if you're not receiving multiple 30-day zucks on Facebook per year, or if you're still on Twitter at all, are you even really pro-white? Our next segment focuses on world leaders being naughty. Naughty. And we'll begin, guess where, in naughty, naughty Israel, where Israel's Attorney General intends to indict Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on corruption charges. Avichai Mandelblit said Mr. Netanyahu would face charges of bribery, fraud, and breach of trust in connection with three cases pending a final hearing. The charges of fraud and breach of trust are related to his acceptance of expensive gifts, including cigars, pink champagne, and jewelry, from a film producer, allegedly in exchange for help with a U.S. visa and tax breaks. In two other cases, he's accused of trying to get more favorable press coverage for himself. It's like God's chosen people don't even own the media and stack up the global financial system in their favor. So what gives, Benjamin? Next, I guess up in Leaf Country, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has denied wrongdoing after he tried to shield one of the country's biggest companies from a corruption trial. The company, SNC-Lavalin, and two of its subsidiaries face fraud and corruption charges in relation to about 48 million Leaf bucks in bribes it is alleged to have offered to Libyan officials between 2001 and 2011. This is the same company which devised a scheme to illegally donate 118,000 Leaf bucks to the Liberal and Conservative parties between 2004 and 2011. The bulk of the funds went to the Liberal Party, which means that Trudeau is just sticking up for his pals. Certainly nothing is wrong with that. Now, over in the UK, a nice African fellow who took his young English girlfriend out for a romantic day at a music festival at which she died of an overdose from drugs he gave her has been charged with manslaughter, after an emotional day in court. Unbelievable! Another black man in jail for whitey's poor personal choices. That is not woke, fam. Official figures show that net immigration to the UK from countries outside the European Union has hit its highest level for 15 years, while immigration to the UK from the European Union has dropped to 2009 levels. So why are British people of African descent still going to jail? We just don't get it, because things should be better by now. Over in Germany, the German government is doing what it does best, taking incredibly inhumane measures against normal people over trivial things. And the town of Aalen in western Germany has made headlines for seizing a family's dog over unpaid taxes, including dog taxes, and then selling it on eBay. Kraut Media reports that officials in Aalen initially wanted to seize the wheelchair of a disabled resident as the most valuable item on the premises. Instead, they settled on a pedigree pug named Edda. One of the officials then listed the dog on eBay as an apparent bargain price of 750 euro cuckbucks. Apparently, that's only half the normal price for pedigree pugs, if you're paying attention to that kind of shit. You probably belong in one of those special groups. In addition, Berlin has announced plans to change its immigration office to a more friendly and colorful scheme. The state senate has promised that the move, which includes investing more money and hiring the new staff in order to make the office more welcoming, will be more than just a name change. In the situation that literally no one could have foresaw, waiting times at the Berlin immigration offices are sky high, and the workers are overwhelmed with the toll of their miserable jobs. Therefore, the authorities have sought to pursue a key position for the control and design of immigration and integration
into the city. And that'll do it. And lastly, in a wild fit of sanity, the woman who was recently crowned Miss Germany is, brace yourselves, white, blonde, cishet German woman from Stuttgart. How does this keep happening? It's 2019. Aren't people like this even allowed to win beauty contests anymore? Jesus Christ. And a final nod to the close of the greatest month of the year, February, we've got a couple stories out of the cradle of Western civilization, Africa. Down in South Africa, the progressive ANC government has declared that white-owned property in South Africa's cities and towns will be seized, along with white farms, in order to provide high-density housing for native Africans, and that white South Africans are to blame for the country's collapsing train services. Which is undoubtedly fair. I mean, who built the train systems anyway? The native population has more important things to worry about, such as spirituality. A South African preacher has tried to confront another pastor for bringing Christianity into a disrepute by staging a bogus resurrection. Self-styled prophet Pasika Mboro Motuzurungungung stood outside the locked gates of Pastor Alf Lukalau's church and heckled the magical pastor. He said if the pastor really held the power to resurrect, he should head over to Nelson Mandela's grave. That's right! Can we get some clap emojis in this bitch? And lastly, the reputable BBC News Service is asking the question, is Africa going backwards on democracy? Frankly, their use of the term backward in the same phrase as the word Africa just shows that the BBC WPWC is far too white, pearly white, and insensitive to people of color. Another very white man, Nick Cheeseman, professor of democracy at the Birmingham University, has added Nigeria to his list of defective democracies after it postponed its election on Saturday. Wow. Why don't you just check that white privilege, Cheeseman? You have no right to provide analysis and commentary on political activities in Africa. And of course, Donald Trump is involved. When his administration's long-delayed policy on Africa was finally unveiled at the close of 2018, many observers in the continent were quick to point out that it did not include the favored American staples, promotion of the democracies, free and fair elections, and political and civil rights. So shame on you, Orange Cheeto Man. Hillary Clinton would have totally been all about African democracy and would have righteously offered American military help to achieve it. Guns N' Roses could have named another album after it. Whatever. It's Bernie Sanders' turn now. Well, we hope you all learned something today. And remember, Black History doesn't end here on February 28th. Thank you all for sticking with us for 88 episodes. Here's to 88,888 more.
Trent, thank you.
There we go. A little suicidal. I guess he spent like an extra week recording that, talking about February 28th and Black Fake History. That's fine. Better late than never, suicidal. Hopefully you'll have one for me next Friday. Leave me hanging. You having a good time over there destroying Yang Gang?
I'm not destroying them. It's not real.
He's destroying himself.
No, it's not. It's not real. It's fake.
How's it fake?
He doesn't mean it.
He means it.
No, he doesn't.
Andrew Yang loves Jews. He feels really bad about all the violence they experience.
No, he's scared like anybody.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah. He's.
So why didn't he just say nothing?
Because he's he wants to.
He wasn't running for president then.
Yeah, he was.
In October of 2018.
Sure. Yeah. Well, he knew he was going to.
You think they're going to say, like, hey, why don't you have a tweet back then about that?
Yes. This is, I'm not going to fall. Look, you think I'm going to fall for this psyop?
Yellow man bad.
You think I'm going to fall for this psyop?
It's not
this
a psyop.
Obvious psyop?
It's real.
This is meant to alienate our support for Yang. It's not going to work. This is Jewish tricks. You think I'm stupid enough to fall for this?
A Jewish trick would be lending you $1,000 a month, I guess.
Yeah.
No, but this Yang tweet is not. This is not real.
This is the end.
This is my
only friend. Yeah. Andrew Yang.
Do you want to bring the tweet up?
I mean, did you send me the link?
I sent you the link.
Oh, all right. On what venue?
The usual place. I don't send you stuff on Twitter.
The books. You put it on the book. All right, I'm gonna pull that right up. Okay, pulling up a Yang tweet. And Skype Plus
this
browser.
Is, I'm assuming this is.
Oh, that's right. See, it opened in WaterFox.
Yeah,
because we're having this Chrome issue.
Yeah, that's because you're.
What the fuck am I looking at? What is?
I know it's true for everyone, but I feel terrible and terrified for my Jewish friends. So many have lost family members to violence and anti-Semitism. It hits home for them, like for very few others, because of their history of persecution. Imagine having your worst fears realized.
Imagine. I just did.
Man pretending to care.
Yeah, this is bullshit. But also, here's the trick.
This man cares.
Here's the trick of this. Andrew Yang doesn't have Jewish friends. This is all a smokescreen.
Yeah,
he doesn't have any Jewish friends. So this whole statement pertains to no people at all. This man has no Jewish friends.
Andrew Yang.
The entire point of the statement is to claim that he has Jewish friends.
Andrew Yang
falsely
is a man who is used to the idea of making $1,000 monthly payments. He has Jewish friends.
No, because he wants to give it to you.
But no, he's been accustomed to taking money and just on a monthly basis just handing it out for nothing. He definitely knows all about Jews.
No.
He's just paying back Jewish loans.
If he thinks
loans.
You can just give money to people and that's it, then that's
no, I'm
that's
saying
like
he's used to the act of like, oh, first of the month, here's your $1,000, Shlomo.
Where are you getting that from? I'm not following that.
Because he wants to give everybody $1,000 a month.
Give.
Basically, it's a payment. He's learning.
Payment for what?
I don't know. I'm just saying, like, that's how he got accustomed to doing the act itself of giving out the $1,000 every month.
No, I'm not following. I'm not following you.
He likes, paying loans.
Do we want to talk about the Lou Dobbs thing at some point?
Lou Dobbs, yeah. Oh, Lou Dobbs, like turning on Trump. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Ah, shit.
Good shit, right there.
That ruins all my prep.
Lou Dobbs actually had a bit on.
Can I find that on Twitter?
He's on Fox Business. Yes,
I can find it on Mines.
Fuck it. Don't.
Mines.
Nobody's gonna find it on fucking Mines. Yeah, I'm on Mines.
I'll
never gonna find it.
And I'll send it to you. I tweeted it out yesterday. It's on my timeline. But like,
it's somewhere in my Twitter. Mentions that's filled with
look at that right here. Look at that right here on Mines. Wow, it's really nice.
Look
at this. All of these posts are in order.
If everybody could shut up, amazing. I found without anybody's help. And now we're gonna do the bit.
Yeah.
Oh, it did not expand. Oh my God.
Now you do the bit where it takes you like 10 gestures to get it right.
Oh, because I have to bring this over here.
I know you.
Then I'm going to do this.
You haven't done the
work. And now I'm
going to
press play.
Tonight, I'd like to share a few thoughts, however, about what I fear is a new direction for the president.
And of course, it's not loud enough.
And what could very likely be a catastrophe for our working men and women, small business and entrepreneurs, our middle class, the American family, the very people this president has represented.
So many euphemisms for white people.
I know, right? It's
like
really...
That was really like ran the fucking gamut right there. How can I not say white people?
Yep.
Entrepreneurs, small business people, working Americans,
working middle class. Small businessmen, the middle class, Woo! The forgotten man.
Entrepreneurs. Wow. Anyway, back to that.
Entrepreneurs. He announced.
What was that?
Entrepreneurs.
Ooh, is that like brown business? Is that black businessmen? Entrepreneurs? Yo, I'm an entrepreneur!
Yeah.
Starting a record label.
It does feel like that's like, I love blacks when blacks say that that's like.
The entrepreneur.
Yeah.
The aspirational and shit. I mean, millionaires.
We're doing work.
He announced he would run for the presidency. Now, I try never to overstate, let alone indulge in hyperbole, but what we watch unfold today at the White House was to me a disastrous policy turn and heartbreaking. What the White House billed is a meeting of major corporate CEOs who will serve on the president's workforce advisory board. That board to be co-chaired by presidential advisor Ivanka Trump and Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross. Their purpose, their concern.
Jewish.
Here's the president on both issues.
Oh, God.
We're going to have a lot of people coming into the country. We want a lot of people coming in. And we need it.
No, we don't.
We want to have the companies grow, and the only way they're going to grow is if we give them the workers. And the only way we're going to have the workers is to do exactly what we're doing.
To be clear, the presence of the Chamber of Commerce President Tom Donohue is impossible to misinterpret. D.C.'s biggest lobbyist wants to reverse the direction of rising labor costs and return to the cheap labor policies of the 20 years that preceded the Trump presidency. I don't even know why this White House would let him in the door. He is the enemy of this administration and absolutely tries to reverse every policy in business and economics that this president has advanced. The White House
Dobbs
could only
like,
muster,
he's like
by
trying
the way,
not to go further. He's like holding himself back. He's like,
Like, he's not used to being mad. Like, Dobbs is usually like a... I've always liked Lou Dobbs because he's kind of like a...
Well,
like
he was doing the immigration bit long before anybody.
Well, he's been a Buchananite. Yeah. He got thrown off
CNN or MSNBC or something.
Yeah, he used to do... Because they used to interpret him because he would criticize the GOP on, like, labor stuff.
So they
had him on CNN for a while, but then...
Then he started doing the immigrant stuff.
Yeah, no, but then he was doing the immigrant stuff. I remember... When I used to watch CNN years ago, and he still was on Lou Dobbs tonight, he had a show, and he would have he did a thing like spotlights on the American worker, and he'd always find like white working class people to do like to show their story and stuff like that. And I guess there was a while like in the early 2000s they could live with that, but then at some point it's like, no, we're not doing this anymore, Lou. And he's always been a Buchananite. He's always been a Buchanan type guy, like, you know, and. They finally like realize it. They're like, wait, all of this guy's like pro worker stuff is not really,
yeah.
He's not really on our team here on CNN. Mm-hmm. He's not on team Global Homo. He's on team like.
I can't remember. If there's anything else in this video that's.
There's nothing much except the fact of who was at the White House for that.
There was nobody there to boo that.
Well, he's got a little bit more where he says like he doesn't even have very many people there.
Let me finish it.
And they're
7
all scumbags.
Corporate CEOs for this big event. In what should have been a reminder to the president's advisors and counselors that in politics as in life, it is important to never forget who your friends are.
Nice.
And if this White House thinks that listening to the beguiling prattle of Tim Cook, Tom Donahue, rhino senators like Susan Collins is helpful to this president, then the battle for the forgotten man and...
What does rhino even mean anymore?
Oh, but notice another euphemism.
Yeah, the forgotten man. Hold on. What good of an insult is rhino anymore? Like, if you're a Republican, like, what are you if you're an actual Republican?
Yeah, what is a Republican that's not in name only?
Like, an actual, like, principal Republican? Like, what is that?
Who are they? Where are they?
I mean, is it Bill Kristol?
I don't know.
I don't even know like what a real Republican. I don't even know what it stands
for. That's the problem with the word rhino. It's like, what does rhino mean?
I used to have a sense of what
they're
that,
all rhinos.
I used to have a sense of what that was though.
But
like
who
Rush Limbaugh is not a rhino. He's a real Republican. Like
what
he,
politicians?
But
aren't
now,
rhinos,
but now
though?
It's like, but now that my standards have changed and that Trump apparently tried to change the Republican Party culture and totally failed and turned around on it. But it's like a Republican is supposed to be anti-immigration.
But even by the
tariff.
Even by the standards of not us,
yeah.
What is a like? What's a non-rhino? Like who? I want a name of somebody.
Paul Ryan.
You name? No, he's the ultimate rhino.
What are you talking about? He's a fucking slave to free market economics. He puts efficiency.
But he was
over...
always at the top of the list of rhinos. Because he was
didn't
always
he, didn't he come in? Didn't he come in with the well? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, all right. I guess you're right about that. He was always pro-immigration, wasn't he?
Always.
All right. I can't. I don't know who.
There's nobody that's not a rhino. That's the problem.
Yeah, but even say I can't. This is because like, what does the party even stand for?
It doesn't
stand for anything.
It's not clear.
So like, rhino is kind of. I don't know.
If you can't, and this is the problem with standing for so-called ideas. You don't actually have any ideas.
No.
Like they say that we're for ideas and not about like just like demographic groups or we're not into identity politics. This is about ideas and what concepts? You're not even about any concepts. You can't even articulate the ones.
They're about bringing workers in for our booming economy. Apparently,
this is dumb.
Yeah,
woman in this country will be decided by the very establishment this president ran against.
Yep,
an establishment that spends vast sums of money and energy every single day trying to destroy him and his policies and his historic presidency. That Mr. Trump would advance the interest of the globalist elites ahead of our citizens would be a tragic reversal on any day. But today, on the same day, the Commerce Department reported the United States had the largest trade deficit in our history. The same day, the president of the New York Fed said straightforwardly, economic growth is slowing, that the southern border is being overrun by record numbers of illegal immigrants. It all means the White House has simply lost its way and that the nation's heart will be, after all, broken by the very same people.
Oh, Lou. Lou's making me
years
sad.
Of consecutive
look,
trade
look at how crestfallen he is.
Mm.
And the export of millions of middle-class jobs.
Who are these people, Lou? What people have been doing this for 50 years?
And who have fed the swamp for
a decade. I'm a Jew and I should die.
I have a request tonight.
Jewish.
Please let your congressman... and this White House.
Did you
know what you think about all of this? And please, be very honest with them.
I'm going to be hanging.
I'd make the same request of the advisors and the counselors to this president, who in this have served him and the nation so poorly.
I'm going to kill myself.
Lou Dabs. Lou Dabs on Trump.
Lou Dabs.
Lou Dabs.
I mean, look.
That better be in the notes, nigger.
It is.
Lou Dabs.
Lou Dabs on Trump.
I mean, I like Lou. Lou's like kind of like, but like seeing him, like he's like heartbroken.
The sign on the fucking front says
and
Lou.
Crestfallen.
I'm fucking Lou.
Yeah.
A little Fight Club in there for you.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I've always liked Lou. He's always been a good guy, a straight shooter, one of the few in media. And here he is. Look.
Pronounce the.
Look,
pronounce,
Trump, you broke Lou's heart.
Pronouncing the Trump presidency dead on a. Well,
you broke
a
his heart. You
that,
broke
though?
Everyone's heart, Trump.
This is what happens.
He was calling
Larry.
Tim Cook Tim Apple. That's kind of funny. But that doesn't make up for anything.
Tim
of this.
Apple.
I would have laughed. There's another day I would have laughed at that, but like I'm not going to anymore.
I'm laughing at Tim Apple.
I mean, it's funny. It is actually funny. But it's like.
All right, so let's go.
Why are you sitting next to Tim Apple? Why did that ever happen?
What, did Trump call him Tim Apple?
Yes, Trump called him Tim Apple.
I thought he said Lou Dobbs. That's
no, no, no. Trump in the meeting with Tim Cook. Tim Cook was sitting right there.
Imagine if he just called him what he is, like Tim Faggot.
Yeah, he's like Tim.
Excuse me, Tim.
Excuse me, Faggot.
Tim Butt Pirate. What's going on? Can I help you?
Yeah.
So then here we go. This dovetails well with this. Advisors urge Trump to defer 2020 rallies. Can a president who revels in being off script run a Rose Garden re-election campaign? So they think they've got him on script now, and they want to keep him on script, make sure he doesn't go off and do these rallies where he can go say,
well, if
but
he wants to win, he's got to go off script again. That's the thing.
The rambunctious rallies can come later, they say. For now, Trump's Republican allies and campaign officials believe an early re-election strategy built around his role as chief executive in dignified settings like the Oval Office and the Rose Garden will carry more weight.
No, wrong.
They're obviously trying to destroy them and keep him from being re-elected.
This is literally, we are trying to get this guy out of the White House.
The impeachment thing has fallen apart. Nothing's going to happen with that. So this is the next best thing. It's like, all right,
this is what's happened.
We've ruined your rhetoric on immigration. But Donald, the economy's great. Just run on that. Tell them it's so great that we actually need legal immigrants. And then at the same time, don't do anything about illegal immigrants. And that you're going to get reelected. It's like,
and
like
he's going to get this. He's going
to
get
the economy is great. What happened to that General Motors plant?
Where?
The one that shut down.
What? I thought the one that shut down was in Mexico.
No, there's one in the U.S., I swear.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, you have a specific...
Oh, God, I have to chase it down. Fuck.
Well, don't worry. Don't go chasing down. Like, well, the thing is, what I said last show when we talked about this was that the economy can't have gotten so good it can't have gotten so good that all of a sudden, wow, every American without a job has one now. Every white guy looking for work... Been looking for work for several years, couldn't find anything. He's got a job now. It's like, no, dude. Like, no. You can't have done that much. Like, you can't be that good. Like, you're wrong. You're
and even
full
if,
of shit.
And even if so, like...
Also, I don't care.
We don't need our immigrants for anything.
I mean, Numbers USA put out a thing. Like, he's everybody's going against him now on this. Like, everybody is going against him on this. Numbers USA was tweeting yesterday, they're like, look, we're finally at a point when labor participation is starting to just slowly tick up and wages are slowly ticking up. And of course, as soon as this happens, we got fucking the Chamber of Commerce is all up in Trump's
ear. We need more H-1Bs. We need Mexicans.
Oh my God, this is terrible.
Open the niglet spigot.
It's like, fuck you. Fuck you. Pay your people more. Yeah. Just fuck you. I don't care about you fucking stupid and shut up. Yeah. Just pay people.
So let's pivot back.
Shut up and give me $1,000.
Yeah. Give everybody $1,000. That's total employment.
Yeah.
Let's go to my prep from this morning. This morning I fell down a rabbit hole of looking at this Omar resolution into the New York Times.
Yeah, this is
If you were an individual that somehow became sentient yesterday and read the New York Times opinion section.
Or if you're an alien visiting from outer space.
Or something like
that's
that.
That's another one that's good.
You would think that this is a country, well, obviously run by, but like totally comprised of Jews.
Yeah.
Like it wouldn't just be like the country is run by Jews.
Yeah.
You would think that everyone in the United States is a Jew.
And like cares about these issues.
Because the hand-wringing from every fucking conceivable angle about Omar and anti-Semitism and Zionism and anti-Zionism and BDS, you would think that this is that this is all that's on anybody's mind ever because the fucking reams of digital paper churned out by this fucking publication.
This is the top. This is the gray lady, as they call it. The top, the most influential and elite newspaper in the country. And here we have an opinion section entirely dedicated to a conversation between Jews.
Yeah.
Conversations among Jews. It's all there is.
There's Thomas L. Friedman, Ilhan Omar, AIPAC, and me.
Cannot stand Thomas Friedman. Is the most disgusting little twerp.
Where did my incognito window go?
I don't know.
Did you make me break my incognito window?
I didn't do anything. I didn't do nothing.
I had incognito windows open with
you relaunched.
Oh, it didn't relaunch my fucking incognito windows? What kind of fucking shit software is this?
I'm sorry.
Son of a bitch!
I'm sorry. What?
Why did it just reload the one window? I have all this fucking prep. I told you I didn't want to do this, and you made me.
Are you really mad at me?
Yes, you said, just relaunch your browser.
It's bad on the internet.
It relaunched it didn't relaunch any of my fucking incognito. It's New York Times. I'm not paying these Jews to fucking lie to me.
Didn't you get the month fucking thing?
No, it doesn't fucking work. It's a lie.
But I
thought... Fucking, I log in and it says you have two articles left. Like, I signed up for that four-week thing with no credit card because I didn't want to look at this.
Can we just run down
the I'm trying to find what I had open this morning. All right, Ilhan Omar's microaggression. Open an incognito window because it's going to tell me I can't read it. Now, where's the other one? I am not untouchable. I just have my period. That's an interesting. That's not exactly relevant, but okay.
Well, it's you know what it is? You know what that kind of shit is? I can filibuster on that while you open up these other
please
windows.
Do.
This I'm not untouchable. I just have my period.
Measles breaks out among yeshiva students. Where to begin?
Jesus Christ.
let's just get that one open.
Okay, the United States is right.
We'll call that bottom. But you see where I'm going from, Mike? It's all
this is okay.
It's literally like where's my fucking hop drop?
So
there is
the Jewish stuff.
Okay, so
here we go. Ilhan Omar knows exactly what she's doing. That's another one.
That's Brett Stevens, of course. That's the
Brett Stevens.
Oh God, it's like the Jews are the most disputatious people in the world, and in their own fucking press, they're allowed to say whatever they want. So, what this is this? I am not untouchable. I just have my period. I'm assuming this is about some low caste woman in India. Who they have
Nepal.
Like, certain okay Nepalese girls. Whatever doesn't matter
menstrual it's shaming some other, like, I don't care
it's some other country out there like that I someplace I don't care about
literally I was just gonna do it again I can't find it though because I'm the worst at this
Africa Mexico and other places I don't give a crap about
right so but this what this is some poor stupid people have dumb fucking superstitions about women on their period and I don't care. But the reason, why is this on the editorial of the New York page of the New York Times? Why? Because what the editorial page of the New York Times does is it signals to people that want to be considered high class aspirational middle class, these types of people, like upper middle class whites, like kinds of people that live in the tri-state area around fucking, you know, New Jersey, New York, around Manhattan, people live in L.A., Hollywood, Washington, D.C., this class of people, this aspirational middle class and the upper classes, it tells them what kinds of things are fashionable to be concerned about, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. So, did you read? They're out at the cocktail parties, like, schmoozing with each other. Did you read about, isn't it terrible that they period shame women in Nepal? It's like, and then you try and tell that to, like, blue-collar Joe Sixpack America. He's like, I don't give a fuck. It's like literally the most natural reaction in the world. Yeah. But what they're not telling you is Joe Sixpack, Blue Collar America, and his problems, and how to, to be concerned about that. They're not telling you about. They're not telling you about opioid epidemics. They're not telling you about the white death. They're not telling you about deaths from despair. They're not talking about suicide and overdoses.
This weird superstition about having your period in Nepal. This is a thing that we have to reach out with love and compassion, solve it, and possibly by bringing as many of these Nepalese people here.
Or just make it our problem somehow.
And then Joe Sixpack with his opioid problem, like, that's actually, like, an untouchable. That's a person they don't want around them. Like, these drawing room people, whatever you want to call them, like, they don't want to be intermingled.
Drawing room set, yes.
They don't want to be intermingled with guys like that. Joe Sixpack is detestable. He needs to, like, go be ignorant someplace else. He voted for Trump. Worse than that, he probably owns, like, a big, like, garish, ugly
truck.
Probably got a gun. He is
like a more
he,
than one,
and he is as Hillary said, he's what,
deplorable.
Deplorable.
He's irredeemable.
He was irredeemable. That's the word I was trying to remember. He was irredeemable. He's a he's a human being that you know in name only. It's somebody that needs to be completely just the sooner him and his kind disappear from this world, the better. But the Nepalese weirdos that shame each other for bodily functions.
Yeah, boy, we gotta get
we gotta get
them involved.
We gotta
in
get that over here. We gotta get them
in the mix here. We gotta get them in this global project.
We have to learn to understand it better and appreciate where that belief comes from. You know, if we feel the need to, we need to reform it, but it will be out of compassion and love, and it will be in the interest of having them join our great global shopping mall here in the United States. We'll make them part of the docile workforce that will be
these
feeding the grapes
tribal
and fanning the feet of our Jewish overlords.
You have to get over that in order to come and be part of the consumerist global culture and economy in which, you know, empowered whammons. All this other shit. Like, and it's like, it's not even necessarily like, oh, we got to bring them here. Like, maybe we want to bring some of them here.
Some of the
but
UK.
We put them some in the UK.
Some in Australia.
Countries. Some other parts of Europe or wherever we want to put them, but mainly
Moldavia.
We want to get them into the mix. You know, here's some people. They're not integrated. We got to bring them in, get them into the mix, get them involved in the whole global thing we're doing.
Yeah.
That's what they want to do. And the other thing is, it's also this thing of like the troubles from afar. Like, this is the thing that if you look at some of the sort of the more wry commentators on like the 18th and 19th century in England, they would always talk about how the drawing room set was so concerned with the troubles of afar, like people in other countries, and they'll step over an Englishman in the gutter. You know what I mean? You'll walk through London, and you'll step over one of your own countrymen who's starving in order to help, like, a Nepalese.
Or talking about telescopic philanthropy.
Yeah, or whatever the hell they would call it. This is a complaint, like, that a lot of, like, you know, a lot of these sort of, some of these wry, quippy kind of English guys were talking about this, about how these upper classes and these elites would be like this, and particularly the Whammons, actually. Whammons were very much like this. But this is, you know, this is just so typical. It's never, there's no cure for it. They are like, this is what these people are like, and they, because this is the Jewish stuff, like, they're having a conversation. It's really amazing how Jewish this really is, and until you step away from it, like, because until you step away from this culture of like the New York Times and New York City and Washington D.C. and L.A., and when you're not immersed in it, and then you take part of like normal life for a little while, you realize like this is so fucking weird to other people. Like, what the fuck does somebody where Alex lives give a fuck about? Like, for them, the idea of like a bunch of yeshiva students with measles, that's just funny. Like, that's just funny. I mean, to me, it's funny. But it's like, what are these guys in funny hats and these weird costumes? Where they got a bunch of measles? What are they doing over there? I mean, stop sucking the baby dicks, and then, I don't know, things will change. It's like, boy, you want to know what's going to happen? If somebody, some guy with measles bites a baby dick, the baby's not going to be too long for this world, I'll tell you that much. I don't want to be, you know.
We're pro-vax here, right? Just to put that out there.
Well, look, pro-vax within sensible limits. But
there are sensible limits, yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I want to look at Omar some more. So the ideas in here. Oh, by the way, it looks like New York Times fixed the incognito window workaround. I just had to go to archive.is to get this story up.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How did they possibly do that?
It said you're in private mode. Please log in.
Oh, so they just don't want you to. They just don't use incognito mode. Period. What a fucking.
Well, they want to get paid for their.
Of course.
Why don't they just do this work out of the goodness? It's so important that we know the truth about Nepalese period shaming. I mean, why don't they just do it for free?
Well, the other thing is,
why are you trying to have a paywall?
If you want me to get even more conspiratorial here, I don't even think they need the money, because on some level, like, New York Times is willing to run New York Times at a loss for the cultural capital, but they want the people that get the New York Times to like really want the New York Times, because
I don't really want the New York Times, but I want to criticize the
New
York Times.
I want to attack the New York Times.
Yeah.
But like, also, like, normal people aren't going to go through anything to get the New York Times, because they're just not interested in it. So it's again limiting its circulation to the Jews and the aspirational upper middle class Gentiles around the urban centers of power in America, like New York, Washington D.C., L.A., San Francisco, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Those types of people that are going to read it. The only place they get high circulation. And nobody in fucking Nebraska is reading this shit, because they don't care. Then they look at this and they're like, "What are these alien shit?" And the reason it's so alien is because it's all Jewish stuff. There's not a single concern in the New York Times
stuff.
In the editorial page. And like these people are so insular and self-referential. They've forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
They've
mm-hmm.
forgotten mm-hmm. where they are and who they're talking to. And or they're not talking to us. They're not talking to us.
No.
And they're so in their own little world. And this editorial well, anybody page that's, is so
anybody
obvious.
Anybody that's not listening is not worth talking to either. It's like they're written
and
off.
And the worst is that these upper middle class white Gentiles, and my parents were like this. My family mm-hmm, was like this. Mm-hmm. They read this and then they feel like they're part of this conversation. But it's fundamentally a Jewish conversation. It's not about us. And they don't need your input. They're happy to have you mm-hmm. be nice and docile and
yes,
like,
that's
and like
you're
where
supposed
you're
to
supposed
be.
To be.
Supposed to be.
But they don't, you try and insert an opinion into it. They're not going to want to hear you. You're fucking.
Oh God, you'll read these.
Look at these Episcopalians trying to tell us what to do.
Yeah, you go read the comments. It's just Jews shouting about.
How oh much God, this yeah, them. The number of Jews in the comments.
Oh my God, the Jews oh in the God. Wow. So oh here we are, God. The New York Times. I mean, it really earned its
you
name today.
You ever listen to Brian Lehrer on NPR and then hear the callers into his show? Brian, I've been listening to you for years, and let me tell you, oh my God.
So here's Ilhan Omar's microaggression. Her words were bad. The reaction was worse. By Michelle Goldberg.
Oh my God!
The identity politics fiasco surrounding Democratic Congresswoman Ilhan Omar has been excruciating. Half of me is angry at her. The other half is furious at her.
Yeah, I'm sure that this fucking... I'm sure this Yenta bitch... With all her fucking Kabbalistic jewelry hanging off her neck, going to her fucking high-rise apartment in Manhattan and
great.
Drinking champagne and shit. I'm sure she's fucking really agonized over this. Among I'm sure her life is one of agony. Get the fuck out of here.
Among the most basic... Did you just accuse her of being a Life of Agony fan? No one should listen to Life. That stuff's terrible.
No, I said I'm sure that she's living really a Life bad. Of Agony. But no, I mean, what is that?
It's a band that people really like for some reason. Among the most basic anti-Semitic tropes are these... Jews employ semi-occult powers to control world events. Okay, that's in response to her
not
saying
semi-occult.
That, yeah, that this well,
that's
she,
a,
they're,
that's
they're,
a fucking canard.
She's playing dumb because
yeah.
Omar tweeted this thing about Israel has hypnotized the world. It's like she's being like poetic in her own low IQ black way. It's like nobody's literally under hypnosis. The hypnosis is dollar signs.
I swear
signs.
To God, sometimes it seems like
but
they
she
are.
But
see
this,
these boomers.
But this woman taking like semi-occult powers, yeah. like no, that's semi-occult powers. It's money. Money, influence, power. They manipulate hapless Gentiles with their money. There you go. And
it's
Jews
true.
in their diaspora are loyal to the countries in which they live. Omar, what happened? Omar, in the course of making perfectly valid criticisms of Israel and its most powerful American lobby, has invoked each of these tropes. But I'm entirely confused by that.
Tell me how you can criticize Israel.
Where are the valid criticisms?
I want you to tell me. I want these Jews to tell me.
There isn't one.
How can I make a valid criticism of Israel without invoking these tropes?
It's impossible.
Explain it to me.
They've got, I mean, they've
oh,
got,
no.
Why would they explain that to you? Why would they help an anti-Semite?
No, but it's like they keep saying it's possible to criticize Israel without being anti-Semitic, but this is not the way to do it. They say that every time.
They
say
like, any
so what's
criticism,
the way to do it?
There is no way to do it.
There is no way to do it. That's just a lie. They're just saying that to cut off at the pass the idea that you can't. They criticizing Israel will always get labeled anti-Semitic. Like, no, it won't. It just has every time in the past. Like, there's theoretically.
Like, this is an incentive.
Theoretically, there's a way that you could do it that won't. But, like, it just so right. happens that every way everyone actually does it is anti-Semitic.
Just listen to this. Anyway. She says, like, how the thing kind of almost went away, and then she reignited it with some insensitive comments. Here's the insensitive comment. Again, tell me how to make this comment in a way that's appropriate. I want to talk about the political influence in this country that says it is okay for people to push for allegiance to a foreign country. That is very benign and factually stated, and it's a perfectly valid question, but because we're possibly asking this about Israel, out of bounds. Over the line, Smokey! You're over the line!
Yeah.
That's a foul. So she says this reignite. Like, how does that question, how does that statement reignite the controversy? It's like there are people that are, like, we have video of Jewish congresspeople and senators saying that they are servants, defenders, guardians of Israel. Yeah. We have the speaker.
Oh, but that's not
the
an
speaker,
actual loyalty oath.
The speaker of the house. Yeah. The speaker of the house says that even if mountains crumble to the sea,
yeah, right.
that at least we'll still yeah, we'll still be sending money to Israel. So that's
stand
all that matters.
By Jews.
Basically, the speaker of the house basically said that all that America is, its entire identity is wrapped up in sending funds for the defense of Israel. That's all we are. That's all we're here for, according to the Speaker of the House.
There are people. I remember Glenn Beck.
Oh my God! Don't even get me started on that.
Glenn Beck
guy.
Was pushing this line like a couple years ago. He was like, I think I've gone back and I've looked at the history books, and I believe that I can make the case that America was created to bring about Israel. He's like, I think God's plan when America became America was that ultimately America would bring about the birth of Israel. And he said this to a crowd of cheering fucking morons. I wanted to, like, did you get the Batroom memes? Like, when I heard this, like, I'm listening to Glenn Beck, say to a crowd of cheering fucking idiots, yes, the reason for America's existence was to bring about the state of Israel. And I'm literally like, you're going to find me hanging.
Oh, he was reading the Tucker Carlson Facebook group. Okay.
No, he was like, I was literally like, I'm in there. I'm just like,
I'm going to kill myself.
As I see these stupid fucking Gentiles in the audience, he's dumb.
I'm going to be hanging from the bathroom.
I was like, Glenn, where do you find these morons? All right, in America.
And it's like, what? It's like, Mike, what are you going to do after the speech is over?
Nothing.
But do you want to go and maybe?
Don't ask me to do nothing.
All right, never mind. Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry.
There's no.
It's good drop interaction. Writers I respect, including Paul Waldman at the Washington Post, have argued that there was nothing wrong with what Omar said.
God,
because she was criticizing those that demand that she show more fealty to Israel rather than accusing Jews of dual loyalties. But even if you interpret her words that way, she's committed what might be called, in another context, a series of microaggressions. Inadvertent slights that are painful because they echo whole histories of trauma. I assume Omar has been reckless rather than malicious. It's like, oh, so she's just a dumb nigger. Reckless rather than malicious, but it is incumbent on her as any public person who wades into fraught sectarian debates to speak with care. This doesn't mean she should temper her criticism of Israel. Apparently it does mean that.
Just that she needs to stop
giving ammunition to those who want to conflate anti-Zionism with anti-Semitism. That's Jews! Jews want to conflate anti-Zionism with anti-Semitism. Like, you can't say anything anti-Zionist without being like, you're anti-Semitic. Like,
no,
that's
this,
you people.
This is the thing. Like, this is the lie. Like, oh, like, again, you can say these things without being an anti-Semite. It hasn't ever happened. there's been no examples of it.
Then she pivots to condemning the white people that have attacked her, because they're so dumb, just like attack her for being a Muslim. Then it talks about the Jim Jordan tweet with Tom $Steyer, whose father is Jewish. To be clear, this tweet counts as both inane and anti-Semitic. It's like, wasn't Tom Steyer a big money guy? Am I crazy there?
Tom Steyer is a billionaire.
Yeah, it's like, why wouldn't you put a dollar sign in?
But dude, that's what we're talking about. Jim Jordan.
Yeah.
Tom Steyer is Episcopalian.
Believe me. I hope that Jim Jordan's anti-Semitic and was trying to be anti-Semitic, but he probably wasn't.
No, that's a funny thing when you talk about Republicans.
There's no way they were.
There's no.
But still,
way.
They see this in everything. This is the most important, like the prime directive.
Well, the other thing is to
conflate any statement about Jews into anti-Semitism.
That's
so you
true,
can
but
trust
the other
the
thing is
saying
that like these Jews, these New York Times Jews that are talking to this liberal, aspirational, like liberal Jews, and like New York City Jews, liberal Jews, Washington D.C. Jews, and aspirational Gentiles, like upper middle class Gentiles, they kind of want to hide the fact that like all of these dumb goyim that they hate, like all these stupid white Christians they hate, are like beyond fucking Zionist. Like they want to hide the fact that like the Republicans are like more in the pocket of Jews than they are. Like they still want to leverage the accusation of anti-Semitism against Republicans in order to shore up their own base.
Right.
But it's like it's like they know, Jews know how in the pocket of Jews the Republican Party is, even more so than the Democrat Party, obviously, because the Republican Party is the one that protested against this resolution because it wasn't Jewy enough.
Want to get mad?
Yeah.
Here's a great, I had never heard about this. I only heard about this in this column. So I guess you can chalk this up to like the Jewish paranoia, like knows no bounds and doesn't know when to keep its mouth shut. But she's mad that this representative, Juan Vargas of California, gave the game away earlier this week when she tweeted, "It is disturbing." Or when he tweeted, excuse me, I misgendered Mr. Vargas. Forgive me. I think that's like a $200,000 fine in New York City.
Oh, there goes
your
Twitter account.
Oof, wow. It is disturbing that Representative Omar continues to perpetuate hurtful anti-Semitic stereotypes that misrepresent our Jewish community. Additionally, questioning support for the U.S.-Israel relationship is unacceptable. Oops. Oops.
He's not supposed to say that?
He's not supposed to say. I don't think you're supposed to say it. I don't know. Maybe you are supposed to say it, but.
What other country has this rule that applies to them where we cannot.
I remember that tweet. I saw that tweet, and I remember when he said that. He said, this is just. He said, questioning.
It's unacceptable to question a military alliance. What's supposed to be just a military alliance.
Now, because here's the thing. Because these Jews know that, like, if they say that, something like that, like, the people that are, like, they're going to be like, wait, what? But on the other side of the spectrum, like, you can say that, right? Like right wingers say, like, the people on the so called right say that, and there are Jews, there are dumb Jews. Sometimes, like, these Jews have to rein in, like, dumber their own grug brain Jews,
yeah.
Because the grug brain Jews will just go out there and be like, you can't say anything about anything ever, right? And they're like, whoa. They don't like that. These white people, they like their free speech. Relax, chill. We got to just pretend like we're still playing into it, you know. So again, it's kind of funny.
So,
this guy's like, what are you talking about? Can't say anything bad about Israel.
She just finishes out by...
it's like Grug Jew.
She's kvetching about what the fuck's his name?
Probably because he's a Latino Jew. That's why he's like more Grug brain.
Yeah, she kvetches about the Clyburn remarks. I don't doubt Omar's living through a lot of pain, but minimizing the legacy of the Holocaust is just never a good idea. Why?
For the love of good. Why not?
Not a good idea for who? I mean, wouldn't it be great?
I think it's a fantastic idea.
Wouldn't it be like a relief for like all the world to get over it? Be like, oh, finally we're past this horrible tragedy. We can all just move on. Nope. You can never move on, Goy.
No, I think
this is
you.
This is a stain on you forever.
I think that
you will never minimize 3,000 years from now.
I think it's a great idea talking about the Holocaust. Minimize the Holocaust. I think that's like literally what I'm all. It's
forever.
It's like what I'm all about.
Forever.
I'm all about minimizing the Holocaust. Like, let's do it.
Forever. That's yours.
Let's minimize that shit.
Never minimizing.
Minimize that shit like the Google Chrome window.
Oof.
Do you like that?
Can we relaunch it like the Google?
No. just hit relaunch.
So of course
it'll bring back your tabs.
And so the 6 million tabs were lost. So she finishes up with the inevitable dig at the 23 Republicans that voted against it, not because they're racist, but because they felt that like this wasn't a strong enough condemnation of anti-Semitism. So, but of course. That's all she needed to be given to take their shot at them. Voting on the anti-bigotry resolution started. Every Democrat present backed the resolution, but 23 Republicans voted against it. It was a reminder that while Democrats sometimes fail to live up to the ideals of multi-ethnic democracy, Republicans don't seem to recognize those ideals at all. And I said, I'm fixing ideals. This is ideas. Omar needs to do better, but right now, there's still one political party in America that is a safe place for hate. So there you go, Republicans. You don't get any credit.
Get nothing. And this is what I was saying yesterday. Republicans trying to leverage this Omar shit into some kind of advantage for yourselves. Don't. It's not going to work. It's going to backfire. Because what they're going to do is they're going to I mean, I don't know with Omar. It could be different with her. They co-opted AOC very, very easily. Because AOC wants a career. She wants to be in that. She wants to be senator. She wants to be in the, probably wants to be president someday.
It's like you just want to be like a lowly, like, you know, one term New York congressperson that we're going to primary out next year. You want to, you want to play ball here with the Jews.
Yeah, you want to be, you got to, you play ball with
those
big boys.
Friends?
Like, they're offering the open door to you, AOC, because you got this national level unearned media thing that you're able to do, or earned media thing you're able to do with your grug brain statements that just put you all over the TV screens and everyone. You know, your horse teeth and your forehead and big red lipstick.
So then let's move on to Bret Stephens. Yeah. Not that Bret Stephens, the one of the New York Times. There's like death metal Bret Stephens and there's this Bret Stephens.
They're both Jewish.
Oh, is that one Bret? Really?
Fuck yeah, he's Jewish.
Really?
America Kaka Anus Bret Stephens?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's Jewish.
Oh, that's
you
didn't
know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, dude, he's always argued for like, he's always been on the page of like, like edgy, like neo-reactionary stuff, but like pro-Israel and America should be more like Israel. It's bullshit. He's a fucking Jew.
Gay. Yeah. Anyway, so to this Bret Stephens. There's an old joke about upper-class British anti-Semitism. It means someone who hates Jews.
Dude,
more.
Who else would start an organization called Anus other than a Jew? I'm sorry.
How do you cut off that great line?
I'm sorry,
great
I'm sorry to
opening.
Cut it off. I had one thought, but who else would start something called Anus
basically,
other than
you
a
just
Jew?
Say you just cut the tip of that line off. Just a little bit
all
to
right,
make the line
right,
seem
do redo the line, but I want you to answer the question. Like you agree with me, right? Like,
yeah, I guess that's, I didn't know you had a thing called Anus.
Well, it's like American Nihilist United situation or something like that. Like Anus?
United situation.
Like, you remember Anus, Alex? Come on. You guys don't remember this?
I remember when we looked at Momokun's anus at the during the break.
God,
that was disgusting.
God damn it. Why did you tell anybody that?
Well, I want to put the video up of us fisting her.
No, you fisted her, not me.
You tried to. I just told you out of the way you were doing it wrong.
Do these things.
Couldn't reach.
Trying to be professionals here.
There's an old joke about upper-class British anti-Semitism. It means someone who hates Jews more than is strictly necessary. I like that. It's cute. It's good. So Ilhan Omar more than meets the standard for the American standard, he says. Like many self-described progressives, Omar does not like Israel. That's a shame. Not least because Israel is the only country in its region that embraces the sorts of values the Democratic Party claims to champion. I don't even know what that means. Like, they have a wall. They have strict immigration policy. They're very pro-life. They're
ethnic
pro-family.
Cleansing Arabs.
They're a natalist. They're a natalist country. They're genociding Arabs. Like, I don't. How
I'm
does
not
this
seeing this?
What does this have to do? Like,
maybe the faggots.
Is this because Brett Stevens is supposed to be like the token, like sort of conservative? Is he supposed to be like a Republican? And
well, he's not the only. He's not the token. Barry Weiss is also there.
But
as
he's
another,
so. But this is supposed to be some kind. This is supposed to be some kind of like attempt at at cognitive dissonance.
Dude, I remember when Brian Stelter. I've said this before, but I'll say it again. I remember Brian Stelter congratulated the New York Times for diversifying voices by adding Brett Stevens and Barry Weiss.
Yeah.
I was like, what do you mean diversifying?
Yeah, right.
What do you mean? So instead of just like the one conservative Jew, now they've got two. You know, they had William Sapphire, and then David Brooks, and now they got fucking Stevens and Weiss.
Are you ready for your...
But Barry Weiss is a liberal in every way, but other than just like, yeah.
Are you ready for our favorite thing?
Yeah.
When was the last time there was a gay pride parade in Ramallah, a women's rights march in Gaza, or opposition press in Tehran? When was the last time there was opposition press in the United States?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess there is now, but it's only opposition to Trump, like not the rest of the state. Like, it's like, hey, we have a government that does a certain thing here, and Trump's not doing it.
Press
impeach
in the United
him.
States is just as controlled as in any other place.
Palace guards.
This is the thing. Everybody that really goes against any regime, wherever they live, that's actually challenging the regime is going to get in trouble. They're going to get shut down. It's harder in America because of the First Amendment. So what they try and do is shut you out rather than shut you down. But if you get too big, they'll shut you down.
In what Middle Eastern country other than Israel can an attorney general indict a popular and powerful prime minister on corruption charges? Wow, man.
Wow. So they'll just replace Bibi with another Jew.
Wow.
I mean, this is things I don't care about. Like, Israel, can you please have more gay shit going on?
So he grants that Omar has the right to say what she wants because America's
Oh,
well,
thank
country.
You, Brett. Thanks, Brett. Thanks for that.
Contrary to self-serving myth among Israel's detractors, there's rarely a social or reputational penalty for publicly criticizing Israeli policies today.
What?
Really? That's why we're broadcasting you from our, like, high-rise Manhattan studio building.
Yeah, this nigger on crack. Like,
it's ubiquitous on college campuses
this is
and
so
commonplace.
Brazen. This yes, is so like fucking brazen. Like,
basically, the only way you can. He just said it's ubiquitous on college campuses and commonplace. And it's like yes, being like pro Palestine, saying that the Palestinian people are being oppressed is the one fucking.
Oh, you
realm.
Know what's ubiquitous? Going That's, around crushing and silencing those groups.
Yeah, but even then, they're the only groups that somewhat get away with it.
They don't
can't
anymore,
really,
though. It's
but they can't really get away among normal people of calling Palestinian people like Nazis, right? Like
no, yeah,
they,
right,
like
they
like
can,
like
they
crush
can.
Crushing like even crushing though, like, anti-Israeli say, crushing Israeli anti-Semitism anti-Israeli sentiment only works when you're crushing like people that look white. And
well,
you can say that they're neo-Nazis of some kind?
I don't entirely agree. Like,
they try.
The pro-Palestine people like were more ubiquitous, like I would say, in like the aughts.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were getting away with it. They have really put a serious damper on the pro-Palestine movement.
Sure.
And they've done it through
it was
a lot
much
of the
bigger,
they've
I remember.
Done it through a lot of the same ways they've done things to the alt-right. They've done it by attacking people's jobs, by making people afraid for their jobs. By doxing, intimidation, having the state of Israel literally spy on these people, and look, a lot of the people were like these left wing activists that I don't really want much to do with, but like the point is that that thing, sure, it can enjoy a certain amount of coverage on a college campus because the student body will generally support it, and the colleges don't know what to do, but they don't have any ability to affect policy. And as soon as they get out of college, Like they move on to other stuff because they it's like they've effectively neutered completely any pro-Palestine movement.
Yeah, I gotcha.
And the other funny thing is, like, you want to talk about people that want to fucking kill all Jews? Go to Palestine. You'll meet a bunch of people, and like they want to, like, the funny thing is that a lot of these progressive pro-Palestine voices, well, like, actually don't want these people that they've lured into these movements to like have much contact with genuine Palestinians. Because these people will just be like, no, fucking
kill them all.
Fucking kill these people. Like, they're trying to
one
kill...
One state solution.
Yeah, no, like, they're literally, they're trying to kill us. Like, we need to kill them first. And, like, to an American progressive, they'll just flee from that right away. So, anyway. But, no, the pro-Palestine movement has been very much quashed
It's the subject of the first episode of The Lobby on, what is it, digital or electronic antifada?
Electronic antifada. I mean, the very fact that electronic antifada only gets, like...
Yeah.
It doesn't have very many subs, doesn't get very many views.
But that used
to be bigger. Like that during the anti-Iraq war stuff, there was this lift that also the pro-Palestine stuff got from
because they rightly saw this as Zionist foreign policy.
Yeah, but it's all dissipated now. Yeah. Like, it's like the pro-Palestine. Yeah,
a lot of things like dissipated without W, like any kind of anti-war sentiment, like any movement is
And the next Republican gone. They get in is like actually not as you know, at least for whatever reason,
next Republican they get in. When's that going to happen?
Right, but for whatever reason, Trump's Syria policy put the damper on this stuff, so anti-war people were able to support him over Hillary.
Yeah, that's true.
Right, this also put anyway.
So we've got some more howlers here. Like he is really packing them tight in this paragraph. This is still one paragraph, and contrary to some recent comments from Senator Elizabeth Warren, no serious person claims criticism of Israel is ipso facto anti-Semitic. So that means there's no serious person?
Yeah.
Because literally everybody says that.
So none of these Jews out here are serious then.
And then this is great. This is are you ready for the best?
That's a fucking canard. If you want to talk about canards, it's a goddamn canard.
But dude, I'm agreeing and amplifying on the criticism of Israel's anti-Semitic thing.
Oh yeah. But hold up a second. Yeah. This is even better. My last column called on Benjamin Netanyahu to resign. Very brave, Brett.
Oh, wow.
I checked, the Anti-Defamation League has not denounced me. what is his stand? Why can't... I don't even know what to say to that. It's just so funny on its... You just laugh at it.
Like...
It's like, you called for Bibi to resign.
It's like...
Bibi's been indicted. He's going down. You're way out ahead of that. Way out ahead of that one.
I'm standing here thunderstruck.
Oh, God.
Brett. Imagine, like, reading this paper and thinking you were reading... Like, you were smart for reading it.
I don't know.
Like, I can't... Like, this paper, it's like... It's funny. It's like... It's so Jewish and so, like... But it's also, like... It's so stupid. Like, it's not... This level of discourse is like, it's so dumb. Yeah.
There's just one thing in here he gets right.
Like, the things they talk about, there's no honesty here.
There's one thing he gets right in here, but he's like, setting this as a warning rather than, like, appreciating it. But he says, the criticism of Omar Mounts becomes easier for her to seem like the victim of a smear campaign. I'm skipping down here. And then she says, the goal is not to win the argument, at least not anytime soon. Yet merely by refusing to fold, Omar stands to shift the range of acceptable discussion, the so-called aversion window, sharply in her direction. That's basically the only thing he gets right in this thing. It's like, but he's like upset about it, right? Like, like the Overton window is
right where we wanted it.
Yes, it's going to include a discussion about, you know, what Vargas said was unacceptable, questioning the dedication of the United States to aiding Israel and all things.
I like how we're going to talk about their own form of attack here. That's kind of funny. Oh, that thing that we're doing. Yeah, you're going to accuse us of that, aren't you?
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
This is fucking insane.
Yeah. Yep. So, how much time we got left?
I mean, we've done almost an hour. We're at 59 minutes.
Let me just do a little bit on the Leo Frank thing. I don't want to go into
it. Oh, yes, we want to hear about Leo Frank.
I don't want to go into it in depth, but I want to do... No, I'm not going to do, like, because you can go really down a rabbit hole in this, but what I just want to encourage people to...
Oh, we didn't even do Thomas Friedman. Shit.
Okay. Oh, God. Dude, I can't stomach... God. I can't.
Omar, APAC, and me.
I Thomas Friedman is the most vile of all of this. He's like, if there's one member of this people that is truly...
He talks about this Jewish enclave in Minnesota he grew up in. I'm like, oh,
dude, I just want him to just not be around.
I know.
Like, I can't stand this guy. I've hated him Once I've hated him longer than almost any other political figure. Like, and it, like, I have always hated this guy, like with a deep and abiding hatred. Like this guy, I feel it in my fucking bones with every word he utters. I mean, that might be a little bit extreme for some people, but he's so bad.
He is very bad.
He's really, dude. You know, remember his book?
Is that Freakonomics?
The Lexus and the Olive Branch. Like, what kind of fucking stupid name for a? It's also like, it's not even just that he's like, not even that he's vile. It's that he's fucking stupid. And the shit he says is so dumb. The Lexus and the Olive Branch. What the fuck kind of stupid title is that, guy? Like, that's like the dumbest shit I've ever seen. Like, and I see what you're trying to do, but you're not, it's not profound. You're just a moron. You're just like a rat-faced, weaselly-looking little fucking Jew. This little chubby, fucking pudgy, you know, pasty little fucking Jew. Go away. You're a pest. Everyone hates you. Like, literally, there's not a person I can imagine liking Thomas Friedman. You ever see him? You ever see him talk? He's short, pudgy, rat-faced, and, like, smarmy. Like, who can imagine wanting anything to do with this guy?
So every Jew I've ever met.
Yeah, you know, he's, like, exactly, like, the Ben Shapiro, like, short, ugly, hunchback, terrible teeth, sweaty, ugly. Like, that's him. He's disgusting. He's vile. He's putrid. I mean, people are going to really think, wow, Mike, you're dialing it up. I'm like, you tell me? You tell me. Anybody come and tell me, honestly, you don't have the same visceral negative reaction to this man.
Let me take a look at Thomas Friedman. Let me just take a look.
Yeah. Well, do your Leo Frank so we can...
So Leo Frank...
Oh, God.
Yeah, see? Exactly. You got watch him on TV.
Oh, yeah, get the show done. Watch him. It's already almost 4 o'clock.
Why does he have this mustache?
Watch him on TV sometime.
This is the worst mustache.
Pull up a YouTube clip of him, and it gets worse. But anyway, let me do this.
It's like a Saddam Hussein.
See what you've done, Mike?
What I've done. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Well, you did it. You did it. I was about to do the thing, and you put up
Well, I had all this stuff, like all the Jewish things in the New York Times, but you're like, oh, let's do Leo Frank. But you're right. We need to do Leo Frank.
I just want to do
somebody
Leo Frank.
Somebody asked for it in the comments of Prepping the Car.
Okay, so the Leo Frank thing is this. Okay, look. I don't have time to go into everything with it. It's a complicated story. Basically, Leo Frank was guilty as fucking sin. And if you want to know about it, go to National Vanguard's site and search Leo Frank, and there's ample materials there. They've got hundreds of articles. They've got podcasts. They've got a whole audio book on it. There's a lot of resources there you can get into. You don't have to necessarily go through all of it, but you can kind of get the gist of it. The most important thing I wanted to talk about was... So Leo Frank was found guilty of raping and then choking out and killing Mary Fagan. The idea being that
and he tried to frame a black guy for
he
it.
Tried to frame two different
no it wasn't
two different,
me it was the niggas
two different black guys yeah. Okay, there's two different black guys, and the evidence is very, very strong that he did it. Now he was basically raping other women that were employed at this pencil factory. That's what he was the manager of. And so he was bringing in the
Imagine
young girls and raping them. And I guess with Mary Fagan, she resisted. He raped her.
Do you remember that building a pencil, like, libertarian thing?
Do you want me to do the bit?
But do you remember that?
Yes, I remember it.
They forgot to mention, like, raping girls at work for you as part of the process of building pencils.
It's like, no one knows how to build a pencil. Well, that's because the one guy that knew got hung for raping girls.
It's like they forgot to write the part about raping girls into that story.
He was convicted and then killed by lunch.
He was convicted twice
because they overturned it. So they got some jury to happen to make him not get executed.
The reason is why did jury go crazy? Well, Leo Frank was a high up member of B'nai B'rith in Atlanta, so he was like high up in the Jewish community. Now he was definitely having sex with other women that worked or other girls, teenage girls that worked at that factory. He raped Mary Fagan. He thought that she was going to tell on him, so he fucking killed her. He had the black guy get rid of the body. Jim Connolly did help him get rid of the body. That is true.
Oh, yeah?
And then he tried to frame him. But ultimately, he killed him. Jim Connolly got in trouble for helping to get rid of the body, too. But he didn't murder him. And so this all came out. He appeal after appeal was exhausted. The whole weight of the press came down. They invented a lie that there were people that were intimidating the court, that there were people outside the court yelling, "Die Jew, kill the Jew." None of that is true. There is no record of that. That is a myth that was invented later, but it is
now would be justified if they were doing
that. But just as I said at the beginning of the show about Jews altering history and writing falsehoods into the historical record, that has been written into the historical record. You're not going to hear anybody talk about this without talking about the frame up on little to no evidence, false. There was 4 weeks of trial with ample evidence presented. It was definitely him. And this lie of there was this anti-Semitic atmosphere outside the courtroom saying, "Die, Jew, die." That's a lie.
That's just called reality.
It's not true. Like, you got to make sure that you understand, like, in the South in 1913, there was not an atmosphere of anti-Semitism. There was much more of an attitude of anti-black feeling.
Yeah.
And yet this race, these people refuse to accept the frame-up of two black men? And they're saying that that's even proof of how anti-Semitic they were. It's like, no, it's proof that they wanted the guilty party. That they proof that they were honest. It's proof they honestly examined the evidence, and they couldn't find the other... One of them was like the night watchman at the thing that just totally was uninvolved. The other was this guy, Jim Conley, who was the sweeper, but also was... he would guard the door when Frank would have his little trysts with the women in the factory. So he did help get rid of the body, but then...
Well, yet again, blacks being screwed over by aligning with Jews.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, everybody ultimately...
Once again, a Jew using a black as a tool against...
Dude, but it's like, hey, ultimately, to anybody, the message is clear. You help these people, you get fucked. So, like, then what happens is... So he's convicted. He's convicted twice. Goes up to the Supreme Court, exhausts every last appeal. Supreme Court denied his last appeal, the 7-2 vote, not
they
to take
the case.
They
took a murder trial to the Supreme Court?
Yes, they tried to take a murder trial to the Supreme Court. And they managed to do it because of the massive support of rich Jews in the New York media that were coming down, and they kept saying, like, then they were saying, like, the population down there became more anti-Semitic because of this.
They did.
And I'm like, they probably did, but that's your own fucking fault. You could have just let Leo Frank hang, which he should.
Yeah, like, why can't you just let, like, one of your guys be a murderer?
Because he was high up in Benite. There might be some that they would sacrifice, but he was a high up
guy. Okay, I keep forgetting
about
that.
He was a main guy.
Yeah.
He was a main guy, right? Yeah. So he's high up in the Benite Brit. That's why they're going all out for him. There are some they might be willing to let it go, but.
Not him.
But.
Not that guy.
Yeah, so they the whole press, and they make this huge thing of it. And year, editorials after editorials, there's all kinds of pressure. They still convict, and the Supreme Court still won't hear it. You cannot tell me that after all of these judicial proceedings, that the course of justice was not done. Then, on the way out of office, the governor, who is a partner in the law firm of the lawyers defending Frank, commutes the sentence. You can't pardon. He's sentenced to death. He commutes it to life in prison. At that point, Frank gets lynched. As he's being transported between prison facilities, he gets lynched. He's dead. Now,
justice was
Jews lobbied to get him declared posthumously innocent for years and years and years, and they couldn't get anything because the system was just like, look, this trial is over. This is what happened. We're sorry he got lynched, but like this is over. Like, we're done. Mm-hmm. Finally, 1986, this guy, Alonzo Mann, who was a witness in the original trial and gave some trivial testimony about things he saw on the day or whatever, was actually a witness for Frank.
Mm-hmm.
He was a witness for Frank. Because he was saying, oh, I only saw like this thing or that. I don't want to go into all of the little details. You can get into that if you go to the National Vanguard and look at all of their, they've got vast materials on this. So he comes out with a statement saying, oh, you know, now this guy's on his deathbed. He's got no money. He's got hospital bills piling up. And so he releases this statement in his twilight years where he's, I actually lied. He's like, I lied in my testimony. I saw something else. I saw Jim Conley doing another thing.
Right.
And like now people that are into the minute details of the trial, like what he said in the end wouldn't have really mattered, but they used
Pretend it does.
They use it to shift everything around. So like, oh, now it really was Jim Conley that killed her, and so the whole press gets turned around. He says this in 1982. In 1986, they finally get the state of Georgia to issue a posthumous pardon. Now, in the pardon, the state of Georgia says this is not about guilt or innocence. It's about healing old wounds. So they said this is not about guilt. I was like, whole thing is about guilt or innocence. Well,
yes,
that's exactly right. The Fagan family was not happy with this because they knew all along. So, and her survivors, there's still a woman, her grandniece is still the survivor of her that's like the one that's like actually, she's like kind of probably like low-key on our team, but don't worry about that. But like, 1986, they say it's not about guilt or innocence, it's about healing old wounds. And they're saying, and it's about us failing to, finally, we're issuing the pardon because we failed to protect Frank from the lynching, thus cutting off his chance at further appealing his case. It's like, no. Supreme Court lost the appeal. That's his final. He has no more appeals. He was going to spend life in jail. And there's no, so you didn't, no, this was purely, and there was massive, the other thing is more to remember is, for whatever reason, because the ADL, this is the case that led to their
the
formation,
ADL, right?
So they can never give up on this.
No.
And the reason I suggest that people press on this is because this is not as well known as the Holocaust. This is not as hammered into your head as the Holocaust. And unlike the Holocaust, it's actually very cut and dry.
It's another in a long line of basically just like a child predator, creepy, evil Jew.
Yeah, that's
like his entire tribe getting together to get him off and not stopping for decades.
Not stopping for, like, because the thing is, because they had set this up that this is the reason, this is a libel against Jews. It was a blood libel against Jews, the accusations against Frank. The whole Jewish community came out and backed him. They created the ADL based on it. Mm-hmm. The ADL cannot be based on fundamentally a lie and a fraud. But this is easier than the Holocaust and as red pilling, because when you see the falsification of the historical record, the fact that they got, and the thing is, when they put in the original draft of this resolution that Frank was an innocent man, I was objecting because, like, he's not innocent. But then it's like, well, technically he's innocent because of this 1986 pardon. It's like, but the pardon itself didn't say he was innocent.
It's not about innocence.
Which is so amazing. Why are you pardoning him? Why are you pardoning him if he's not innocent? Also, the posthumous pardon, it's like a very strange thing. Particularly that many. How can they judge the state of Atlanta in 1986? How can they say they can judge better than the jury and the judges in 1913? How can they say they have a better window into it?
Because Israel has hypnotized the world.
The testimony of this one dude who needed these Jews to pay off his medical bills, like, it
just
doesn't matter.
Pay your medical bills. We've been over this.
I mean, that's kind of the thing. It's like, guy, just fucking die without paying.
Just don't pay
them. Like, it doesn't matter. You're dead anyway.
Doesn't affect
you. In the end, you're dead, so whatever. I mean, he's died soon after anyway. But
this reminds me of a common trope that I just realized is pure projection, which is you ever see the thing in TV and movies where the Nazi always loves, like, the Jewish women? Like, this is a thing. Like, the Nazis got this secret, like, thing for Jewish women.
This is that's going back to another old, age-old Jewish myth of the Jewish woman seducing the person that wants to kill Jews and then killing him, just like the Book of Esther did that, and they always talk about that, how they lure them into the woods and then kill them, which none of that's true. Like, all those stories about I seduced Nazis and killed them and the resistance, it's all bullshit. Those stories are all fake.
Yeah, it's even, but Deep Space Nine does that whole bit. But, like, but it's looking more like Jewish projection. Like, oh no, it's actually Jew men want to get these boy women.
Of course they do. Of course, look, Frank was just a fucking rapist, all right? Like, the guy was just he was raping young girls. Like, that's all there is to it. So, but the thing is, like, the thing that's so amazing is the falsification of the historical record. And that's what's so important to not let them get away with. You can't let them get away with it. And the reason I think this is more important is because, unlike the Holocaust, which is a very difficult thing to deal with because it's this huge, massive thing. There's so much to debunk. There's so many stories. There's so many different pieces of evidence and things and whatnot. Like, this is a cut and dry single court case in which all the evidence is on the table. All you have to do is go look at it. There's a 4-week trial in which all kinds of evidence was brought to bear that proved beyond a shadow of a doubt this guy was guilty. They've convicted him twice. They fucking, and it's a perfect red pill in one little nugget. And a lot of people don't know much about it and don't pay much attention to it. And it was sort of relegated to the realm of something that cranks and weirdos and anti-Semites were interested in. That's another thing they do. As they rewrite the historical record, they tell you people that care about the truth are fucking cranks and weirdos. But the fact is, Leo Frank was guilty. They say he wasn't. And everybody, if you're not as familiar with, I know that some of our listeners are probably hyper familiar with all the ins and outs of the case. Everybody that's not, I urge you, go check out National Vanguard. There's a ton of materials. The main article is one called 100 Reasons Leo Frank Was Guilty. And you can get that stuff there. No one can see that.
I guess not.
But it's just really, really important that everybody get this and spread the word on this, because this is a great red pill about how Jews lie and falsify history in their favor. This is a total lie. That's all I really want to say about it. And the Alonzo Mann thing is really, truly brazen. The fact that they managed to get this guy a pardon from false testimony given 69 years later. Oh, you know what? And the thing is, I just want to make a couple more points about the Alonzo Mann testimony, because there's a couple reasons why it's totally bogus. So, Alonzo Mann is white, okay? He's a white kid. He was the office boy in the factory. He's Frank's office boy. He says, the reason I lied back then is Jim Connolly told me he would kill me if I told the truth. Right. So, I ran home and I told my parents, you know, because he's still with his parents. He's a young kid. He's like 13 because they did that back then, whatever. Tells his parents, this black guy tells me he's going to kill me. I saw a black guy carrying a young white girl's body. Now, remember, we're talking about Atlanta, Georgia, 1913, right? The South, 1913. So, certain attitudes about blacks, right? So, he goes and tells his parents, yeah, middle-class white people in Georgia in 1913. I just saw a black guy carrying a dead white girl's body. But he said if I said anything, he'd kill me. And his family supposedly says to him, well, you better just keep your mouth shut then.
Yeah, that's what parents...
Like, is that credible? Is that credible?
Everything's credible when you're trying to get Jews off the hook for their crime.
Because, like, why wouldn't the parents be like, let's go to the police right now.
Let's right now get him
get you
up.
Under police protection, get Jim Connolly arrested, then guess what? The threat of Jim Connolly killing you. And the other thing is Jim Connolly was arrested soon after. He was actually arrested in conjunction with the case. And why didn't you get courage then? Jim Connolly also died in, like, 1940-something. Why didn't you fucking change your testimony then? What the fuck?
Is there a way to talk about this case and criticize the process without being anti-Semitic?
No.
Are you sure?
No. No. That is for sure. You cannot question the Leo Frank.
You can't question one side's like narrative on what happened and the evidence.
You can't say that it's patently ridiculous for a white family in 1913 to hear their son say, I saw a black man killing and raping a white girl, and have them not say, let's get the cops down there and put this black nigger behind bars.
Let's play chicken or the egg here. So you tell me that an aged, like, dying man who was a witness on his deathbed comes forward and says that he lied in his testimony and that to get Leo Frank off.
No, he lied in his testimony.
He lied in his deathbed. Or he's lying about his testimony from when he was a kid.
Yes.
And this results in a very rare posthumous pardon of Leo Frank.
Yeah.
And that also was something that... Like, am I skeptical of that because I'm anti-Semitic? Or did that kind of, like, whopper of a story... Does that, like, make you anti-Semitic? Like, let's talk about it here.
Well, that's
like,
the thing.
What's the process, right? Like, any normal person would hear this and be, like, skeptical of such a thing.
Only if they thought about it, though. Because you got to remember, like, the way the media presents this, it's like bombshell testimony proves Frank innocent, and they don't really go into it. They don't really give you they're not going to tell you the details. And if you want to get the details, well,
now you're anti-Semitic.
Why would you want to get more details on this? Why would you want to know?
Like an amazing story. You're telling me this guy was falsely convicted and then lynched like 100 years ago? I want to know more. And I go find out more. I was like, huh. And any normal person that reads is going to go, huh.
But it's also
is that really anti-Semitism?
But then
does the reaction to me going, huh, like the screaming, clamoring to like tear me down because I went, huh, at this weird thing. That causes the anti-Semitism.
Yeah, the going, huh, is an indication that you're like
a thinking
you're
person.
You're vulnerable to it. Yeah. Right? So
the lashing out and destroying you, that seals the deal.
Yeah. And for things like, they're like, they'll say you can question Israel only because that's a big thing. Like the Leo Frank thing, it's kind of obscure now. So if you have a big opinion on that, they're like, well, this guy is definitely anti-Semitic. But the thing is, like, it shouldn't be, and they created, like, what they always do is they create such, and it's almost like their tactics with stories like this, is kind of like Antifa tactics with, like, right-wing protests. Like, you go in, you go in and you create an atmosphere of such violence and disorder and chaos around these things that most people are like, look, I'm just going to avoid that. I'm just not going to touch that. So if you wanted to even touch the Leo Frank thing, you know, like, I'm just not going to touch it because, like, I don't really have the energy, it's not worth it, right?
It's kind of
like,
scary.
It's like, I don't know what's going on. Like, they're very adamant about this. It's like there's this... I mean, look, the political campaign to get that fucking posthumous pardon was just massive. I mean, can you imagine
keeping that
the
alive
kind of
for
that
long?
That these Jews were putting on the government.
What kind of governor was this that fucking capitulated?
A governor that was
bullshit.
Like, make it stop. That's the kind. And also a governor that was probably like, you know, low key, we control the media and election finances. So, you know, your next election coming up could be a different kind of thing than what, you know, we're looking at.
It's just the question is, like, why did it finally work? I guess because of what's his face's testimony. That's why.
Well, the break confession. In the dam was they needed that. They needed that one, like, revision.
Yeah.
To, like, create the thing because they were trying to get this for a while. But the state was just like, look, Stein. like, week. This is done. Like, the guy had two fucking trials. Like, what do you want us to tell you? You know? But the other thing is Gentiles. There were Gentiles that were taking up the case of Mary Fagan. There were people that were taking up her case, and her family kept advocating, like, we think Leo Frank did it. But as the years go by, that fades. But the Jews keep it alive, right? Now, there's even members of the Fagan family who I've seen interviewed in the press that are like, we don't really know. Now, there's a couple of them. There's a couple members that are very vocal about it. But there's others that are members of that family that are like, we don't really know. It's a very fraught thing. We kind of just go with what the state says, and we don't really want to be bothered with it anymore. And I'm like, you fucking cowards. I killed your ancestor.
It sucks.
Yeah. But that's how it is. That's a lot of people are like that, man.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that's enough of that.
Yeah.
Wow, it was a very rustling episode.
Sorry.
I hope everybody likes it. People already paid for it.
People are really going to like it.
Yeah.
You're going to love it.
Tell your friends.
Tell everybody.
All right.
Sue everybody.
Well, let's get out of here. We'll be back next week.
Yeah, I'm all sweaty.
It's warm in here. I turned the heat down, too.
Okay. It's still freezing over here. I'm dying.
Always give your best. Never give up. Never discourage. Never be petty. Always remember. Others may hate. Those who hate you don't win unless you hate them. Then you destroy yourself.